everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 190.
What? He just, like, lost it at first as you hit record.
Well, he thought it was very funny the way I pushed the button and set the mic down. You know, it is. I did it with a little flair this time. But
I do appreciate a good flair.
It was good. You did a good job.
Woo!
Yeah.
I'm going to even bring up that story now.
Yeah, so, bring up that story.
Just a little quick story. Dan, my former helper who opened Southside Comics, just texted me before we started saying that somebody came into his
store. Oh, I forgot. I didn't realize I segued to that story.
You did. You segued right to it.
Ric Flair.
Came in saying that he asked how much Action Comics number one was, and Dan responded, $2.5 million. You're in perfect shape. And the guy said, great, because I have one. I'll bring it in tomorrow. And Dan's like, he doesn't believe him. And then, but the guy leaving did the Ric Flair woo on the way out the door. So I then sent Dan a link to a site that has all the Action number one reprints so you can identify which one it is, because I don't believe the guy either. I don't think random person is not going to come across an Action Comics number one in any shape. It doesn't matter what shape it's in. It's not a real Action number
one.
Why
would you not take it to, like,
well, he doesn't know.
Because
he's got a comic book. There's a comic book store. That's all.
I thought your story was that Ric Flair came into the store. Like, I really
that would be even better.
That would have been really cool, but no, that did not. Maybe when
he's
coming to the December toy show, so
with a copy of Action Comics 1.
No, about that, but he's kind of hard strapped for cash. You might be able to get Ric Flair up in here.
True. So I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are
Josh,
Dave,
Pat,
Adam,
Rich,
and again, anybody is welcome.
What episode number is this?
This is episode 190. I already said that a long time ago.
I did.
Want me to rewind it?
No.
Are you listening? Are you paying attention?
No.
I did the work.
You
didn't
even ask Pat what number it was.
It's yeah.
kind of boring.
Get out of here.
Man, okay, there is an open chair, so please
like
come down.
Week.
It's more open now than before.
Oh.
But
we just need to give him a roofie colada, and then the rest of us can go on and do what we need to do.
Roofie
colada.
No.
That's kind of creepy.
That might be a Philly way to do stuff, but we're going to keep it civil here.
So that's what happened to the robot.
So yeah. How else are you going to get him to shut the hell up? Where's Lucille?
It's Lucille, too.
It's Lucille. The fact that you're wearing the Bluth banana stand shirt worked out pretty well there, yeah.
Worked out pretty well.
So last week was one of those really light weeks. As we're going, what do you read? And it's like, I think Josh said he read two, I read three, which, yeah, okay, fine. That's not that unusual.
I only read two.
Pat read two. So there was some other stuff I kind of wanted to talk about today. A little more business related. My store related. And we do have a couple questions that we'll get to. So, sorry, I just got a, they sent me a PDF of that. I can't wait to read that. Superman American Alien
Max Landis.
Max Landis. So, looking forward to looking at that.
There's some great artists on there, or covers.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Pat, news-wise,
yeah,
what happened this week?
Well, Cartoon Network announced they're going to have a new Justice League show. Which I guess this was rumored for a couple weeks. Someone had taken a picture inside of DC's new offices, and they had a picture of what looked like a new Justice League cartoon. So the speculation was they'd have a new series, and yesterday they announced there will be a new Justice League.
I like that on two counts. One, kids watching the Justice League, getting aware, knowing the characters, but that'll also mean there'll be probably a new kid book,
mm-hmm.
a Justice League Unlimited, whatever it is.
Which they need,
because I get a lot of that, and it's just, okay, here's Scooby-Doo and Scooby-Doo team up.
Scooby-Doo team up,
and it's just, there's not much, I mean,
Scooby-Doo did team up with Batman, don't you remember? There was like three episodes like that.
And a book.
But I really wish we had like an all-ages Batman book, and things like that, so all-ages Wonder Woman book.
Having it for a little bit with Lil' Gotham.
Yeah, but even that wasn't good for a kid. That was really, you know, the stylized Dustin Nguyen art. But just a basic, you know, just, hey, my kid's eight, wants to read Batman. Well, I'm not going to, you know, put, you know, the regular Batman in his hand because it's just, it's too much. Just too intense. Not violent or anything, but just, he's not going to understand what's going on. I was thinking back to when Joker had all the people under the water, you know, mm-hmm. it's just like, you don't want an 8-year-old reading that.
Or he walked into the police station just...
Yeah, like it's just so. But kids like Batman, especially with the new movie coming. There's more.
Right,
they're not going to see the movie.
Not be.
No, they're not going to see the movie. But
what about Batman 66? I mean, I know it ties
again. That might be too stylized, you know, the other way. So I would just love a nice generic.
Also, those kids are looking for that specific Batman. I don't think it's that anymore.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, it is.
Well, like the kid who was just in looking for a Red Hood comic, but he wanted the Red Hood from the new Arkham game, the Arkham Knight Red Hood. So, you know...
But couldn't you point him towards the Batman Arkham Knight comic that's out right now?
Yeah, but...
I mean, I guess if they're getting the game, they should be fine with the book.
Yeah.
The same amount.
So. I mean, the game is definitely... violent.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that makes me very happy to hear. Okay, what else?
So even though Marvel has not finished its last event, they are already talking about
it's
their next event.
It's never too soon to start your next event.
So their next event is apparently Civil War II.
I got the postcard yesterday.
Did you? Okay.
I did.
I'm so excited.
I did. Now, my only problem with this is that the cover shows Iron Man versus Falcap. Falcap has no chance. Falcap has no powers. He's got electronic wings on his
back.
But
he's a falcon.
I get it.
Does Iron Man have a falcon?
He does not.
Jarvis.
But Iron Man can take, you know, with his shield held up, he could take a pulsar or whatever they're called, blast. I don't see Falcon being able to
withstand
that.
But the Falcon sticks up behind him and pulls out a wire from the back of his neck, and suddenly he shuts down.
Fair enough.
It's like Looney Tunes logic.
That's my, when I saw the image, that was the first thing I thought of was this doesn't really...
Oh, that's right. Man, way to make it dark, Dave.
What happened?
Oh, that's right. The Falcon died.
The Falcon died somehow.
It's Secret Wars. He might come back to the pizza.
Well, he's not necessarily dead.
It may not be that Falcon. It may be a different Falcon.
I forgot about the pizza.
If Wolverine can come back.
At least 20 of them on that planet.
Yeah.
I take away what I said.
So, that's
it. Might be a pterodactyl.
I don't see a point, but whatever.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Oh, there will be points on the issue.
What's coming out May 6th?
Oh, there'll be.
What's the name of that movie?
Captain America Civil War.
There you go.
That's stupid.
What controls Marvel's comic book publishing schedule?
The movies.
No offense.
I thought you were going to say Sam Mouse.
No, what's the name? What's a new book that they just announced?
Fantastic Four.
No, that ties in with a Netflix series.
That would be
Jessica Jones.
No. Well, yeah, actually, yes. they're doing that too, but Luke Cage and Power Man.
Luke Cage
and Iron Fist.
How quick you were to say no.
Well, that's actually not Marvel, though. It's the digital comic. It's not a print comic.
It's still Marvel, though.
Wow. Yeah, okay.
Huh.
But it's not like a comic you can get at a comic book shop.
No, but it's still pictures and words made by Marvel. Just put on a different format.
I can put a picture and a word together for you.
Is that workable?
It wasn't loud enough.
Shake it up. No!
All over the compendiums. Oh, man.
I will not pull a Pat.
One time.
Josh is like, I don't want these books anymore. They're pop covered.
Anyway.
I didn't pay for these yet, so. Yeah.
The better ones.
ABC ordered the Damage Control show to pilot, and it's going to be a half-hour comedy. So, I don't know. I think
so. When Graviton does something, they're going to have to clean up after it.
Yeah, I could see. But you know what, though? I see all kinds of like tie-ins for insurance companies and all that to like just make it a big product placement.
So now DC is going to have a show like this and Marvel.
What shows DC?
DC announced that show they're doing where it's like.
Some kind of
some sort of like yeah insurance.
I thought that's this Damage Control.
No, there's something
no.
Else.
That's the Marvel
the DC
one.
Universe. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. DC's doing one also. They announced it months ago.
Oh, I didn't.
It's totally different though.
It's your news.
Pay
attention.
I remember talking about something like that before, I thought that was this. I thought it was Damage Control.
Yeah, Damage Control is something different.
Okay, well, I didn't realize that. Well, and then speaking of another TV show, no one asked for.
Wow, a little editorial commentary there. Okay,
I'm not a journalist.
Opinion piece.
Yeah,
HBO was apparently in early talks to do a Watchmen series.
Yeah,
I have no problem with
I don't understand what the point of a Watchmen series would be.
But, yeah, I mean, that's...
I mean, it served its purpose as its story.
It would be a before Watchmen series, right,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, and that's the only place where I could see they could go with it, because it pretty much ended...
The further adventures of Silk Spectre and Night Owl. Yeah. As they raise their
kids.
That's
a Cinemax show, Colin.
Hallelujah.
I still remember sitting in the theater, and there was, like, this six-year-old kid, and I'm just... Like, I saw it come in, wasn't sitting near me, but as that there was that scene on, I'm just like...
I love when you're in the theater and there's something like awkward on the screen and someone in the audience that just should not be there.
Yes.
And you're not sure if you just look at the screen or look at them to see their reactions to it.
That's because too many people, I remember that with Kick-Ass, somebody told me they were just like, they're going to take their kid to go see that. And I was just like, you realize, first of all, the movie's called Kick-Ass. And second...
And that's one of the nicest things about it.
I think the trailers did a good job of showing it.
It's not
it
a superhero movie like Captain America or something. I'm like, no. Like, what is wrong with you?
I saw Starship Troopers in a theater, and someone took, like, their three-year-old, and I'm like, that's awesome. You're going to have a lot of explaining to do at the end of this 2 hours.
I tell you.
No, but I don't know. I can't see how Watchmen's going to work as a TV show.
I don't see it.
I think if they do before Watchmen, then that could work, but not if they're adapting
with better actors.
Yeah, and not if they're adapting the movie or the graphic.
Oh, I like Rorschach.
Some of the actors were good. Some were not.
Who didn't you like?
I did not like Malin Ackerman.
So you didn't like Silk Spectre? Okay.
No, and I think she killed the movie. And I didn't like the guy who played...
Ozymandias?
No, he was okay. And the guy who played Night Owl definitely looked right. Patrick Wilson. He was okay. Comedian was perfect.
Yeah.
Nothing was really wrong with Dr. Manhattan other than put shorts on him. We really didn't.
I mean, need to see
I get what you're going for, but there was really no need for that. You know, that's all.
Okay.
They gave you the boobs, too, though. Okay. It was equal opportunity.
Fair enough.
Yeah, but
I'm just saying, if you say put shorts on,
I get it, but I'm just saying, I found
her.
It distracting as opposed to seeing knowing what
a
was going on.
A blue glowing dong is distracting to him in a movie. That's what it is.
I'll go on record with that, yes. I will.
But if it was, like, fleshy colored, then...
No,
we're moving on with that, okay.
Let's take a do-over now.
Yeah, I'll bet he's
Pat,
gonna...
do you have any other news?
Yeah, they hired a writer for the Flash movie. It's the guy that wrote the Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter movie.
Shut up. Tell me you're lying.
I did not hear good things about that.
I'm
That's not.
And he's also writing the Lego Batman movie. And then he's the one that actually wrote the book, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, which is now going to be a movie as well.
He's been working on that for a long time.
Yeah. You got to get the zombies right.
Where are they going with that? Like, where they were like, this guy has experience with this. Like,
well,
Flash zombies.
Yeah. Actually, no, they're all Warner Brothers movies, so he must have some. Yeah, that's what I think it is. Is he just has some
deal
with Warner
like,
Brothers?
The show is great, so the movie doesn't have to be.
That's my biggest fear with DC movies. Sometimes is that too much of the production company, like the company itself, is involved, where they don't get it. They're still trying to do it the old way. And not a new way.
Yeah, but, you know, then it could be the Marvel way in which the comic books...
Which works, though.
Yeah, but it works for the movies, but it doesn't work for the comics.
Well, yeah, that part of it I don't like.
I just don't know how they're going to top... What they're going to do in a movie, how they're going to top the show, because I'm looking at the poster right here, Flash of Two Worlds, and that is awesome. And I don't... And that's what you want to see in a movie, but they're doing it in a freaking TV show, and it looks great.
Yeah, although there was some rough CGI... In last night's with Adam,
God,
Smasher.
Adam Smasher,
yeah, that
like
that was a little rough. And
he looked a little wonky.
And what was disappointing?
He looked like Stretch Armstrong.
He looked like he was Stretch Armstrong. Yeah. And then they also Marvel hired a writer for the Black Panther movie. This guy only has one writing credit to his name. That's a movie I've never even heard of.
Not promising?
Well, no, it just seems like, and that may be intentional because he doesn't have an ego at this point, so he's not going to tell Marvel how this is going to go. They're going to tell him how it's going to go. It's the only thing I can think of why you would get someone with so few credits.
Well, I'll tend to give them the benefit of that because the Russo brothers, they were like a sitcom people.
A good sitcom, though.
But they had more than one credit
to their name. That's the thing. I mean, he's only written one screenplay, and now you're going to give them a tentpole picture that, you know, theoretically is going to be one of their main new characters as they phase out Iron Man and Cap and all them guys.
Yeah.
Be right for a big movie.
As soon as they start phasing out those characters, though, that's when it's going to kill that. Like people go see those movies because of that.
When they can't see Iron Man anymore,
yeah, it's just like I'm going to go see this movie about the Inhumans.
Well, yeah, and that's I can't picture getting excited to see an Avengers movie.
Oh, Sky.
He doesn't. Yeah.
Daisy.
She's like, oh.
I will give this show credit. That show credit. This season so far,
two episodes were really good.
It has been pretty good.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, that's what I got for news, Colin.
That's it. And then we briefly talked about the new Power Man Iron Fist series. It's like, why are you announcing that now? Because that's not going to be out until, it'll be in
the all-new, all-different
for January.
I don't know how I feel about the art on that book.
Yeah, that's what I said. I didn't like the art.
Cage looked, gave him like a really weird, the cover he had this weird space in between his teeth.
And he kind of looked like Barracuda.
Yeah, and I was just like, who is
Michael
this?
Michael Strahan.
This does not remind me of him.
And then they gave, now Iron Fist is wearing like a tracksuit with a big high collar and sneakers, just kind of a weird.
Well, it's not the 70s anymore.
Yeah.
So.
Well, but he had the green suit, and then he had a white one most recently. Now you're giving him a black one with dual yellow stripes down the side. It was a little bit odd. But I did have somebody else who's a big fan. They're like, I don't like the art. I want it, but I don't like the art.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm. It's written by David Walker, who's writing Cyborg now, and he wrote Shaft. Mm-hmm. And I guess they're also doing another
new Shaft.
New Shaft coming out too. I like what he writes, but. I don't know if I can get past the art on that.
Yeah. That was just the killer for me. I was saying that. I was just like, ugh.
So we'll see. But as Marvel continues to roll forward.
Not to say it was bad. It just looked like, it looked odd for those two characters. Like, it just did not fit. Right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. I was going to say viewer questions, but I guess listener questions.
Screwed it up. Was canceled.
So we don't have viewers yet, but soon you'll be.
Right.
What did you do this week, Colin?
Monday, I filmed my first TV show. So we'll see how that goes.
Where did you film it at?
Here.
Oh, not like some fancy studio with fake.
No, here in the store.
Fancy.
It went a lot faster than I thought. So, like, what I thought
first
was.
First time always does.
And that's a podcast.
Walk right into that.
We'll see you next week, everyone.
So, like, I typed up a bunch of stuff to talk about, but it without you guys and stuff, you know, I'm like, oh, I can talk for half an hour. That's no problem. You know, piece of cake.
Those guys hold me back.
No. I didn't mean it like that.
He's going to be inviting us next.
But just when I say, you know, boom, 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 I made all the points, and then it's like, okay, next segment. I'm like, well, that went for like a minute, where that was supposed to be like 6 minutes. So I have a feeling it's going to be like a 15-minute show instead of a half-hour show.
You have to rehearse, and you have to slow down.
Yeah, I bet that's
I don't think it was that. It just the amount of content that I thought I had.
And rehearsing
to read.
Sometimes hurts you because then you're thinking about it so much when you actually do it.
Rehearsing so you can time it. I had 6 minutes, and I have one.
I think for the next one will be a lot easier because, like, I was talking about the Marvel relaunch, but I had nothing to really talk about. Other than here are the title, some of the titles that are coming. Now I'll be able to, for the next one, say, you know, here were the real highlights. It was this one and this one and this
you're
one.
You're not going to have much
like
to talk
how
about.
How are you scripting? Are you just writing exactly what you're saying? Or are you
outlining? No, because it's more of an outline for me
that's
to look down
be better,
and it says, yeah.
Some, like you're,
yeah.
Almost like how you're talking now
yeah.
would be
that's
normal.
What I thought I could do, but with no feedback, you know, it just really.
Sometimes too much of a plan.
I had five pages of typed up stuff to talk about, and it just really went. Didn't go as long
They're
as
like,
I thought it
canceled
would.
Our
were
rank.
You in different spots of the store for the different segments?
Yeah, a little bit. Like I did, most of them were sitting here. We changed what was behind me because I'm like, let me sit only because that'll keep me from rocking or anything. So if I'm sitting, so we changed what was behind me. I did one when I was talking about like my recommendations. He wanted me to do kind of a recommendation thing. I was standing in front of the board as it rotated, so they could see what was behind me and stuff.
When does it air?
We don't know. I don't know. He's got to edit it.
That's kind of the problem, though, because
it's not really airing. It's going to be on YouTube. It's something that'll air on the Bethel Park Cable Network, but
My point is, by the time it airs or gets posted mm-hmm. to YouTube, mm-hmm. what you had shown on the
Absolutely.
Screen.
Absolutely, but that was just more to have something behind me to say, you know, here's what's coming this particular week. No, because I know because it's a monthly show like that, but like, I recommended Justice League 44 and basically the whole story arc so far. Yeah. I forget what else I recommended, but then I also recommended Valiant just as a whole. And I talked about going to the Todd show to meet the guys and that they're really going to be pushing their stuff. And it'd be a good opportunity to have a little time with, you know, publisher sales reps and, mm-hmm. you know, on a one-on-one thing. And, they can tell you all about the books and stuff. So is that I tried to keep that generic. And I think I probably tried to keep it a little too generic. And I need to go a little more in-depth about some books and things like that. Even if it's just trades, things like that. I was doing it very broadly. Like when I talked, the first thing segment I talked about was the Marvel relaunch. Then I talked about the Vertigo launch, talking about their new 12 books, just as kind of a counter to that. Then I was talking about Image and a lot of the new Image. But the problem was I hadn't read them. Like, I was talking about Paper Girls, but without having read it. So that was a little bit troublesome, and I think I have a better idea in my head now. Plus, trying to get ready for that, trying to get ready for the signing, trying to get, you know, just every, you know, family birthdays. It was just, it was chaos. But it was good in the sense that I told him, basically, set a date, and I'll do it. Whereas if I keep waiting till I'm ready,
you'll never be ready.
It'll never happen. It's like when you're having a kid. Oh, let's wait till we're ready to have a kid. You know, you're never ready. So.
Well, it's where the, you know, how the flow of it goes. Yeah. Like I bet if you go back to the first podcast you recorded, it's going to feel like
that. Yeah, absolutely.
And it's gonna come to you naturally after a while.
Because I was very cognizant of the camera and staring at the camera and thinking about what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And so there was all of that going on in my head as I'm talking. Every time I fumbled a word, should I stop? Should we keep, you know, and so there was just so much. And I think if I'm just a little more natural, like here with this, it'll go better.
Next time you need to be here with a sock puppet.
I was about to ask if the sock puppet helped break things up at all.
What sock puppet?
From Sue Teller.
You need to have a sock puppet.
I needed a caller is what I really needed. I need someone to call
me. Caller?
Can't reach the Sue Teller heights on the first.
No.
Did you get a Hell's Yeah at all?
No, I did not get a Hell's Yeah. So, okay, let's go back.
You should have set it to see if one of the people filming actually
you only get callers that are talking about taters.
Why would you say that?
I still think you should have wore the Deadpool cardigan.
No, not yet. I kept it. There were some things that didn't happen that were going to happen. Lots of little things. So it'll get smoother.
It'll come together.
It'll get better. It'll come together. This first, and then afterwards, I'm like, okay, the only people that are going to see this are my friends and you guys, you know, customers and stuff. It's not like, you know, I'm talking to a housewife. No, but I'm not talking to a housewife in Bethel Park who's just going to happen to come across it.
Yeah, you
Maybe
are.
Maybe you are.
So you know what I mean.
That'll be your next caller.
So they'll be like, I saw you on Pittsburgh Comics.
They'll be like, I called you, saw you on public broadcast.
Dreaming man.
And this is why we won't be invited for the TV show.
Do you want any guests? No, I do not.
He's the biggest nerd I've ever seen.
So Mark was in earlier. Mark's a new customer. We just started coming here at the beginning of September.
You get new people?
And I guess apparently, like what he said, he had been in North Carolina, just got out of the military.
He's in the military. He's done
North He'd been reading, and last time he was really reading was back around Civil War time, when the original Civil War, not the Civil War time.
How old is he?
But
back in 1865.
So the question he asked about was about the timelines of books, and does what happens in one book, this is mostly with the big two, but does what happens in one book affect another? Like if
Batman's in one book, is what's going on there
right.
impacting other books?
Nah, it doesn't.
So I thought it was a good question. We answered him live because Pat and Josh were here.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, Marvel adheres to that a lot more than DC does, especially now post-convergence. DC really isn't adhering.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, but like what happens in like the new Batman appeared in Batman and Superman. He's on the cover of the New Detective. So he does appear, but he's also has nothing to do with Justice League, where Justice League is standalone.
But even inside their own continuity, like what happens in Detective doesn't impact what happens in Batman
Correct.
Or what happens in Batman and Robin.
Correct. But the Batman family books have done a good job of keeping
They're more themed books.
But, like, the Green Lantern books for a while there, they were affecting
they were running,
each other.
Yeah.
It was almost a necessity to read each of the books.
Well, and that's, I think we've talked about that before. From, like, midway through this, the New 52 run.
Adam, do you want to unplug this? It's really loud.
Right before the top right Convergence. Green Lantern kind of ran in a constant state of events. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the problem. Some were good. I mean, Godshead was good. But you're right. You couldn't
I'm not saying they weren't bad stories. It just, I don't like that feeling where I already have a large pull list. I don't like the feeling that I have to buy five other books that I wouldn't otherwise buy just so I can keep up the story of the one book that I was reading.
Yeah, there's actually, Marvel's doing that with one of the Star Wars books. I think it's Darth Vader or something. And that's
Vader Down.
Yeah, Vader Down. I got it running through books.
Vader Down! I don't know why I would use that voice. I have no idea.
That's what he sounds like.
No. I don't think Vader sounds like that.
When he takes off his mask. So you're kind of for it, then, right? It doesn't bother you at all to have those, the continuity changes.
No, it doesn't bother me.
It doesn't bother me.
I mean, it...
No.
I think they do a good job.
The only
thing
that bothers me with something like big.
Yeah.
Like with the whole Wayne Manor thing, which they finally talked about in the
Batman. Yeah, they finally came to that.
So like that, where it's been going on for a while, it's like, what the heck's going on here with this? But
yeah, because that did seem connected in some way. You know, they made a point
but
of
like
bringing it up.
But like little things,
or
you just don't know when something's taking place, that doesn't bother me at all.
Robin can't be here. He's over in Brazil.
Yeah. Like, and being that the characters are looking different, like, that helps you say, okay, well, this is a little further. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm saying all the new stuff out of DCU, like Superman losing his powers and Aquaman on his crazy journey and Batman as a robot. Those are more.
Is that a robot? Why does everyone keep calling him?
No, you know what I mean. Yeah.
But he is
Iron Batman.
He is. Those I think are in a future, like a more of a future there, and then Justice League is not. I think it's still a little further back, and I think they do it well by showing you what these characters look like, giving them different looks, giving them different things. And I'm with you all the way that. I feel like I don't have to be so invested into everything, you know? But, you know, if you want more story to this, you can be.
Yeah.
So they're giving you option as a customer.
And
I think that's great.
And that's something that has kind of, like, toned back my Marvel interest with their books, because for a while there, I was reading a decent number of Marvel books, and I was getting tired of hitting event after event after event where I had to buy, you know, 300 books.
And I feel like I'm still going to have to do that because either you know, whatever they're doing, it's always about an event with them.
Yeah,
that's probably my problem.
Like self-contained.
Even looking like at the Deadpool trades, you're looking okay. Deadpool Axis, Deadpool Original Sin. You know, it's just like if you didn't read those events, are you going to understand that book?
The entirety of the relaunch of Spider-Man was an event.
Yeah.
The majority of it was an event.
Adam got mad shelving the books yesterday because Spiral, the .1 trade, is volume 5 of Spider-Man, which has absolutely nothing to do with the Spider-Man storyline. But they just kind of wedged it in.
Technically, shouldn't one issue of that be in like multiple volumes?
Because of the 15? Yeah. Because it's, but see, they didn't stick to that though. They were like 15.1. I would have been like 15.1, 2, 3, you know.
Yeah.
Keep it.
Well, they
did
that before at 700. We did 700.1.
1.2.
Like
3,
a year after 700 came out.
Right, exactly. Made it great to order.
But with this, they jumped all over the place with it. It's like they don't know how to use that.
Yeah.
Those points at all.
DC lately has done a good job with, if they have a book that's going to tie into some current big arc that's going on, it's almost like a one shot of that book. So like,
yeah,
the Endgame
ones.
About DC is they do events, but they're self-contained events, and I think that's a better way of doing it because you're not interrupting everybody else. Like if you're reading Green Lantern and not, you know, Justice League, and you don't want your Green Lantern interrupted by something, well, you're still reading your book while an event's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't mess up everybody else's flow. Yeah. And at that point, you're just like, there's too many events happening in Green Lantern, or not. That means there's no focus going into the Green Lantern story, but there is on this and this event.
Yeah.
And it's just like, don't. You know, like he's saying with Deadpool. I mean, Deadpool and even Spider-Man, where the majority of the book was the event.
Nobody that's reading Deadpool's worried about continuity.
Yeah. No, no. But I was just thinking about those, just as because I shelved that one a lot because it sells well. But I noticed, you know, there's an original Sin Deadpool. There's an Axis Deadpool.
But they want their, but they don't want their story interrupted. Infinity they want a story coming out of this that they're investing time into, not something that they're just, they put a writer on it. It's just like, yeah, but you have to just make it work for this event. And then how long is that going to go on?
Yeah.
That's what sucks about it.
Yeah. But, yeah, the main answer is Marvel more than DC.
And the other thing he asked was, how do you know which is the main book to follow?
Right.
Which normally is obvious, like Batman's the main Batman book, Green Lantern's the main Green Lantern book. With Superman, action seems to be more the main book than Superman itself.
Yeah, sometimes it does.
Well, it's tough, because then you had Geoff Johns on it for a little bit, and at that point in time... Then yeah, that's the main book.
If Geoff Johns is on it, you know that's the main book.
I think I think it's whenever the book feels good, that's the main Superman book. Yeah. I really think that's really what it is.
But even, you know, like we told him, you other stores may charge for it, but you give out the previews for free every month, and that's a good way to look and see all the books that are coming out and a brief like synopsis of each book and get a feel for what's, you know, the main thing or how the story's gonna flow and what you should be reading. Yeah. So definitely if you don't do that, pick those up from here.
Okay. Yeah, let me know what you want. And that's a good thing. Like, I just noticed, I just sold out Doctor Strange Didn't Last the Day. And that was a tough one to order, because when I came time to order that, I had, I had three people ask for it. So it's like, okay, how, you know, this is a book, there's never been a Doctor Strange book since I've been open.
It was leading the poll.
Okay. But
it knows how to work.
But, and it's one of those, okay, so I'll take a strong position on it, so I was going to order 50. Well, then I notice it's a $4.99 book. Well, okay. Now, is the interest in it, or like the online interest in it, because of the movie? Is there that much demand for a Doctor Strange book? I don't know. And without people telling me what they want, like I said, I had three people tell me what they want. So I ordered 35, kind of hedging my bet.
Yeah.
I won't get hurt too bad if I only sell 12. But, you know, again, being a $5 book is, you know, that's that made it hard. Man. What?
How many did you get?
65.
You got that because it was their launch book.
Right, right, and I got that to get the party stuff. Okay. Don't get me started.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But I know I didn't sell as many of that. But yeah, when somebody called and asked me to throw Doctor Strange in their folder, and I went to the wall and literally pulled the last one off.
How'd Spider-Man do for you today?
Hard to tell. I mean, I could look at the numbers. I mean, I sold a lot, but I don't. That one I think I ordered 80 of.
Did you buy it?
Yeah.
I didn't get it.
You didn't?
I didn't.
Not yet. Well, I didn't buy it yet. I didn't
okay.
It just gets tough. Like, I wasn't hating this Dan Slott stuff, but I wasn't loving it either. So I have trouble jumping back into the exact same thing and paying a $6 premium for it.
I
think I would have felt better with this relaunch if they were giving you something different. If they were saying, we're really changing it up. But they're not.
Well,
yeah. I'm not saying.
And you know, again, I haven't read it, so it's just why I, you know, kind of read previews.
But it's all new with the same artist and writer.
Well, but it's... You know, a more global Spider-Man. I don't want that in Spider-Man.
Yeah, I want
Spider-Man.
Local. I want him having issues.
He needs to be in Queens.
But it's not. That's the thing that was misleading.
Right, and it misled me right to not buying the book, because that's not what I want to see.
It's not Batman Incorporated.
That mean you bought the book?
It's basically he's a poor man's Tony Stark, and Spider-Man is his. Bodyguard type thing. That's how they're playing it out, because it's somebody else is wearing a Spider-Man costume. He still has his Spider-Man costume. So, but yeah, that's
way to spoil it now.
I didn't get. You'll see that when you read it.
But that's just it. I mean, that doesn't sell me the book, because they turned it into Peter Parker, super spy, world traveler, jet setter. All that's not Peter Parker.
Yeah,
that's. That's not Spider-Man, and you know
he started, and he, you know, he's been losing that Spider-Man feeling with, especially Dan Slott. I think Dan Slott's kind of lost what that meant. I mean, I get where he was going with it, that he wanted to bring Peter Parker up a little bit, but they've always said, you know, Peter Parker can't go up any further; he has to go down eventually, you know, somewhere along the line.
And
that's just his luck,
right? And that's just it. I don't mind changing things with the character. I'm not
you
a super continuity nerd. It's not about that. You can make changes. They need to be organic to the story.
Yeah.
They need to make sense, and they need to be true to the character itself.
And well, this one isn't that. They played it up a lot more than what was actually in the book.
But that's exactly the point, is they played it up as, oh, my God, this is completely different. He's a super spy. He's this, he's that. Okay, well, that's not what I want to read. I want to read Spider-Man.
Anymore, I try to stay away from anything they say. It's kind of funny because, like, you have to.
Yeah, but you would think that, that the company selling the book would
try a little better.
Yeah,
well, that was one thing. I don't want to say I was chastised, but when I talked, I was talking online about how that Secret Wars kind of oversold itself. And they're like, well, you know, that's Marvel hyperbole. You can't believe all that. I'm like, okay. But then what can I believe? You know, that's the end of the Marvel Universe. Everything is different going forward. And where it's looking after reading some of these new ones, they're basically just the next issue.
I think they could have planned
on it.
There is an 8-month gap, so maybe it's 8 months after the last issue. But it's certainly not totally different.
The Marvel Universe will change. Okay, that's fine. It does change. We're okay with that. The Marvel Universe has ended. That's a completely different statement.
Right.
I mean, and that, you know, kind of does something.
But yeah,
it changes your expectations.
And they're telling you that you shouldn't fall for everything because they're trying to hype it up.
Right. Right. And I'm like, okay, but then.
Because then it becomes misleading.
Right. And then when you do miss something or not listen to something,
yeah,
then you're, you know, oh, well, we told you. Just we told you this was going
to
be huge
what
and different
are we supposed
and everything.
To believe, you know?
Yeah. So
I think truthfully out of this they should have just I've always said that they kinda need to do kind of a soft reboot. They need to start over, have some changing event, and then it starts all from scratch.
Is there anything that is gonna happen after Secret Wars that couldn't have happened without Secret Wars?
I don't think so.
That's
I don't see it.
Yeah,
in,
unless they bring back Uncle Ben or something, you know.
Yeah, that would be
well, and I'm still not even understanding, like, this Red Wolf and how they're bringing Old Man Logan back. And is it going to be Old Man Logan from Secret Wars, or is it going to be they went into
Old
the
Man,
future
yeah.
and brought back
I think it is. I
Old
think that's
Man
why
Logan.
They – and from the previous issue when he ends up in the Ultimate Manhattan, like, he ends up there, I think that's why he'll end up in the new universe. Because whenever it started, he was there, so I think he's just going to show up where he was last left off, which kind of sucks for him because he has a story going on back there with the, taking care of a Hulk baby. So, I mean, he's got stuff to do.
Red Wolf's going to be frozen. He's going to be like Buck Rogers and thawed into the future.
Well, and that's my question. Is it Red Wolf in the present, or is it going to be an old Western?
One,
you know, they haven't had a Western in a long time. So, just, yeah. So. And then we also got a question from Zach just a little bit ago, because apparently, you know, since Josh was so upset he didn't email in a question. I'm really sorry, Zach. I'm sorry that Josh was so upset.
Us missing him last week is a compliment to his question-asking abilities.
There you go. Ooh.
Ooh.
Like that.
Save.
Because this is practically Zach's Q&A
yes,
segment.
Yes. And please, other people, join in.
Yeah, we enjoy the questions.
Zach's Q&A, that's what it's called.
Now, he was listening to a podcast, and they were talking about the Boom Innovator program, but they didn't know about the changes, but the people didn't go into detail. So he was just wondering, he said, and then by sheer coincidence, I mentioned that I was part of the program on last week's podcast. And he was asking how it works. It's nothing really fancy for you guys. It's more for me. But for me, as a single store, if I order 10 copies of the first four, that was the difference. If I order 10 copies of Marvel, of Boom books, I can return the unsold copies, not for cash, but for credit, and then I can use that to get more stock in. So, I'm sorry. The Blackhawks game just started. They just raised the banner, man. I recorded it at home. But so we can use it for credit to get stuff direct from them. The change they made was they limited it to just the first four issues of each series. Because I made the point, and maybe I'm the chief troublemaker, but by the time we're at issue 12 and I'm selling one copy of RoboCop and I'm still ordering 10, just seems dumb and wasteful. Because I'm like, by the time I hit, you know, and I said issue 3, they made it issue 4.
Because it was really starting to fill their shelves after a while.
I said, by the time I hit issue 3, I know what this is selling. Or at least I have a good idea.
Yeah,
you know,
they don't double ship.
Right. And so I'm just like, you know, is there any way? Because I'm just storing stuff and then sending it back to you. And it just seems just wasteful, you know. So they made that. That was the main change. One nice thing they did was in the previews book, you guys don't see it, but especially the online one, when I'm doing my order, says this is a Boom Innovators issue. So I know to order 10 of that, so I qualify. that's the big thing. The benefit to me is the returnability. The benefit to them is they're having their books on the shelves so that they, because, and I know Image does the same. They do an overship program where they'll send me extra copies that I can then return. Because they get tired of hearing from fans, hey, I went to the store, they didn't have your book. I couldn't find your book. So they're doing what they can to get the books on the shelves to give them an opportunity to sell. So the benefit to me is the no risk on them, that I can send back whatever didn't sell. I also get mentioned in the back of every book, which is cool. But I love the Boom guys, so that's not, when they announce this, I drink with them, yes.
On the bus. Or RV.
On the RV, yes.
It's a banger.
Shaggin' Wagon.
I got a hug from Mel at the summit. So, the Shaggin' Wagon, no.
what are you doing there, Colin? No,
you almost slid that in there.
No, I tried, no. So that's basically the Boom Innovator Program. It's just a way for them to get the books, more books on the shelves. And for them also, in reality, increase their sales. Because if somebody only orders two, but they end up, they order in 10 and sell 5, that's great. The big one for me was Over the Garden Wall. They had a special, never heard of it, don't know anything about Appearance of Cartoon. Ordered 10, and that apparently was the hot book because nobody could find it. There was a lot of demand for it. Well, I happen to have 10 copies, so it made it, that was the place
so
to come.
You tripled the price?
No, I did not. I don't do that. You know that. But it also, I had Six Gun Gorilla. I had, and I had enough copies of that. So that's all it is. It's just really a way for them to get more books on the shelf. IDW and Dark Horse are right now doing a program where if you order a certain number of books, it's not a program like this, but it's like a lot of it is 10. If you order 10, then you're returnable. So that's why some books I'm ordering more of. Adam knows. Adam helps me pull them off the shelf, and he rips the covers off.
Thanks, Adam.
And so it just makes it easy to draw, to order. And then, if it doesn't sell, it doesn't sell. And a lot of times, not with Boom, because I have to do it for the first four, but some of these other ones, even though the second one's still returnable, if the first one didn't sell, I'm not going to order enough to make it returnable. I know, I ordered 10, I sold one. Well, I'm going to order two. It's a waste of time to order too many. So, those are our questions.
It's kind of strange, though, about IDW, because most of their stuff's licensed anyway. You kind of know what you're getting.
It is, but again, they want it on the shelves. Like, one thing they did with the Disney stuff, they had a minimum, if you order 25, they're returnable. Well, that's way more than I will ever sell, but I get it, and that's why if you see they're falling off the shelf. Yeah, I have way too many of all the Disney books, but it's because of that. But I'm probably selling 10 copies of Donald Duck that I never would have ordered 10 copies of that.
Yeah, you probably would order 5. And,
right,
yeah.
And then been reordering, and then they're out, and then there's stocking issues on both sides. So it works out. Now, those I get a credit, actual cash credit for. But it works. I like the company. Well, yeah, Valiant's doing that too. Valiant does things where they offer a real high discount and returnability to try to get especially the first issues in the stores. Let people come see if they want them. So I like supporting the companies that are making that effort, not the companies that are, variant-based. Like Marvel right now, I'm just, every time I see something about these stupid variants, it's driving me crazy.
Well, I mean, because the difference is some of those companies act like they need you, and the other ones act like you need them. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, and I need Marvel. This summer has been rough.
You need them, because, but at the same time, it should be more of a partnership.
You're
in an abusive relationship with Marvel.
It's okay, bud. You don't have to deal with it.
With Marvel, it is, and I was talking with somebody about this day where when I look at DC, I'm like,
someone get him a tissue.
No. I feel DC at least they screw up a lot, but they're trying. They're trying to do the right thing. They're trying to get. The books, get the product out there people want, where Marvel is just kind of,
So DC's like Adam.
Yeah. Tries to do well. Means well.
Right. Yeah.
Tries really hard.
Yeah.
Marvel, I don't know. I mean, it seems like, DC took the approach, we're going to try a bunch of different things so we get different customers in trying the books. Whereas Marvel, their approach seems to be throw as much crap on the wall and see what sticks.
But why change if it works?
I get that. It's just, for people that have read their books for years, it's kind of,
It's kind of, we look at it and we're like, that's kind of stupid it works.
Well, but I
agree with that.
It's stupid it works that way.
Every week we complain about the same things. You know, why is Marvel advertising this before this is even done or started? And why is Marvel, releasing this book or this
funny
book?
Point.
Those things work for them.
On the Comics Pro Facebook page, probably not supposed to be saying this, but whatever. One guy said, can we make a deal that they don't do any advertising or promotion on Wednesdays? Because, it's tiring when people are coming in today because something that was in the news today that we can't even order till the next previews. On Wednesday, I'm not looking at the news sites. We have other things going on. And, how about you promote the books that are coming out that day?
How many orders of Civil War II did you have?
No, but more like Power Man and Iron Fist.
Yeah.
And then you have things like... And then... they were talking about how about not promoting too early, and my point is, how about you don't promote a follow-up issue until number one hits? Like, specifically thinking about Iron Man 4, where they're talking about Mary Jane joins Iron Man in Iron Man 4. That was news 2 weeks before Iron Man 1 shipped. It's like, slow down. You're too far ahead of yourself. Let's work on what's going on right now.
If you're giving away, why would I buy number one if I know what's going to happen in number two?
Yeah.
Except but you for don't the big know, reveal.
Right? The big reveal at the end.
That was on the internet.
Well, to be fair, that book was purchased in England, so it's not
so
like
they're 5 hours ahead.
Right. So it's not like a store gave it away. So what are you doing now? Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, the Bloodshot statue.
It's expensive.
How much?
$245.
I mean, that is
it's big.
That is pricey.
It's.
They don't know how tall that is.
I was just showing you.
I appreciate it. Okay, so about 12 inches.
It's a million feet tall? Man.
15 inches? Okay.
It's not that big.
A million feet tall.
Adam, you need to go back to school and work on estimating.
I didn't see it. Okay. I was just asking.
Well, he's... Okay.
I was making
well, I'm just saying, if Josh holds his hand 15 inches above the table, that's not a million.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
It's a million of something.
Yeah.
Like some tiny measurement it's a million of.
Say...
He just wasn't sure what that measurement was.
Nanometers.
And I didn't say it.
But it's 15 inches tall, and it's David... Aya?
Oh, yeah.
Asia.
But it's not... It's Aha, I think it was pronounced Aha.
Aha.
No. And that's why you're not invited to the fun parties.
There are no fun parties.
Yeah. Are you checking my math? Okay. I want to talk about, since we don't have I can't help that, man. since we didn't have a ton of books read, so we hopefully won't be talking 2 hours about last week's books, I want to talk about some store stuff. Store news. No, just, I've been debating even talking about this.
I think you should talk about it, maybe not, you know what you're doing.
We had a signing for the two authors of The Paybacks yesterday, and they're comedians, and they were going to do a comedy show. They had some local comedians come by. They were going to put on a show, and I know I've been promoting this for a while. I put it on as soon as they sent me the thing. I put it on the website and Facebook and Twitter, and then I promoted it last week and over the weekend, and then again yesterday. And it was just really disappointing to have a signing of two guys. Now I didn't originate anything. It didn't cost me anything out of pocket for them to come out. They're just trying to promote their book, The Paybacks, which was really good. We've talked about it on the podcast. It sold very
really
well for
book.
Me.
Yeah, really good book.
And one person came, and for me, not a big deal. I realized it was a Tuesday night. That wasn't my choice. I didn't particularly want it to be on a Tuesday. But it was a little bit frustrating for me, just in the sense of I've been promoting something. I got some people in, to promote a book that was really good. Come talk to them. There was going to be even more with the show and stuff. And then one guy and his girlfriend / wife. I'm not sure exactly the relationship. Other than, me, Adam, Tony, and Rich came by. So it was just a little, disappointing. And people all the time ask me, why I don't do more signings and things. And I don't want to say this is part of it. Again, like I said, the day wasn't perfect and everything, but it's just tough. Where I'm not going to get I'm not going to have Scott Snyder in. That's not really feasible, based on Well, I know you got to pay to fly him in, put him up in a hotel for and all that fun stuff. So at best, I'd get local guys. I would get, you know, some smaller guys who are trying to do, you know, a tour to promote their stuff. And it's just hard to really want to commit to getting, you know, making an effort to get somebody in when the turnout isn't good, you know. So it was just a little disappointing. And I guess I'm kind of talking to the listeners out there. What do you think I should do? What should I do more? Josh mentioned maybe doing more bag stuffers. I know I didn't have stuff up in the store specifically early.
Not being aware or not remembering?
Yeah, that's the big question is, like, were you guys aware of, you know...
Because my thing is...
Of what was going on. Now, I was aware, but, you know, being here, but I think even not from the podcast, at least I did know that it was happening.
And, like, Constant Colin promoted it through Facebook and through Twitter, and what I said, and I don't mean this in a mean way or anything, but I feel like sometimes that if it doesn't say sale in the social media post, then people kind of just gloss over it.
It could be. Yeah.
So I don't know if things like promoting an event like that, that's, you know, just a signing for not a huge book, if people just see the Facebook thing and think, oh, that's cool, and then forget all about it, maybe something, a flyer in-store thing would do better to...
Because when I was talking to Sean Murphy, trying to get him to come out, one of the things he mentioned, he had a lot of bad experience at signings where nobody showed up. And I can see that before he hit it big, you know, if it was like last night, you know, hey, let's do a signing and nobody shows up, nobody comes in. And I've had a couple even on Saturdays where it's just been a totally dead Saturday. And it's just, it makes it hard to want to go out, do the effort to get somebody in that's not, you know, A-list.
Well, but I think it's also hard. And, you know, the Paybacks just came out.
A little while ago. No, it was in September.
I thought it was like 2 weeks ago. But it, you know.
Could have been.
It wasn't brand new. But we talked about when you weren't here. So I think it was 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. But, you know, sometimes books don't get a following off their first issue. It takes a couple issues. And that's, you know, I see what these guys are trying to do. They're trying to get that following now. So I do understand that, but, you know, you as a retailer, you've only had a couple weeks to kind of push this book because it's a brand new book.
Right. Well, with kind of unknown people.
Since long before the book came out, though.
Yeah.
And to be fair, like, how many people that are customers here come in multiple days a week and just, you know...
Some, but not a ton.
Well, I'm surprised that those people even didn't just come down to, you know, see the comedy show or hang out.
One thing that would come in handy is, like... how to figure out your customer base, what they use to get information. And let's say, I'd say a lot of them do go Facebook, but if you had some sort of like, even like a, took a little survey or something, but you know, getting them to bring it back and stuff like that, that's impossible.
Facebook,
somehow
so much
figure
stuff,
out
though, it gets,
how you get your information.
Drawn out.
Yeah, and I don't look at Facebook at all because most of it is crap.
Where do you get your information? When if Colin, let's say besides the podcast,
Colin's website's usually where
you would get it.
I'd get it from the website.
See, I get it. I do get it from Facebook, but I'll see it. They also have the event. Remember that on Facebook they had the little event thing that you can say join. I'll be showing up.
But can I tell you, I didn't even notice that until last night.
Really,
the event thing, yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember when I saw that.
I've seen the post, but I didn't notice the actual event until last
night. I saw the post that he put up for, I think it was from your website, and then that transferred to your Facebook.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously see the website, and I get most of the stuff from Twitter, I think, that you post. But
I'd say most of your people, like...
I also think we pay attention to things he posts more than...
I think so,
regular
too, customers.
Sometimes. Yeah, that's
what I think one thing, I mean, unless they're just not interested at all. Which could be. Like, people aren't interested in doing this type of thing. I find that odd.
I guess. I mean, just come down and hang out.
Yeah, even that. Like, I think the best way of getting it might be little inserts to put into the bag on Wednesdays. I think probably, 2 weeks ahead of time.
Yeah, and I mean, some people just can't. It's a Tuesday night, so people can't come down. I couldn't come down last night because my wife had class. I take my daughter to karate, but, like, just... When you said one person, I was blown away that that's
it was something. I wasn't expecting that. I really wasn't.
Like, when you said, because I talked to Adam last night, when you said it was bad, I thought you meant, like, five people.
I actually said disaster. I thought it was.
But to me, I thought disaster was five people.
Yeah, and it's, you know.
Apocalypse would be one person.
I didn't really know who was who, like, at the time. Yeah. Like, he would know better of, like, okay, this guy was... here for this. Like, I didn't know certain people coming in that yeah. weren't part of the show. Like, two other ones were a part of it, so that count didn't come in. And, yeah, the one guy that was there, and then me, Tony, and Rich here. And that was basically it. So, yeah, probably was about one. It just, yeah, it was odd. I mean, it's strange because it didn't seem like a bad... I was interested in it. I said, not only are you getting the signing of a book that was... It was decent. I gave it a read last night, and I really liked it.
It was really good.
Colin said it exactly how it was. You almost thought it was going to be a comedy, and it wasn't. It had some depth to it.
And it's a book that's from, you know, a mid-range publisher, not like a teeny tiny publisher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dark Horse.
You know. And the show itself seemed interesting. It was kind of a gimmick attached to this that I was like, you know, that's a little something extra.
And I really thought that was what was going to bring people in the comedy show.
And I think that was what disappointed me the most when they did. But I understand why. I understand, you know, you're not going to stand up here for like one person. It's like, yeah,
so how did it go?
You did good.
It's like, so we're not staying, right? You guys are all aware of that.
Kind of. Yeah, pretty much.
And, no, we're here for the
but
comedy.
But I'll tell you the truth. He came around. Elliot came around. And he talked to everybody that was here. He said, you know, he wasn't going to stay, and he thanked everybody. I mean, they did it really well. They did it. It's not like they were just like, this doesn't have enough people. Let's blow this popsicle stand. They weren't like that.
Grab the jetpack.
Yeah.
Put on a show for my staff now.
Yeah, and it was just like, you almost were like, I get it, you know, I get it. And that's where you were.
I felt bad. I didn't want them to do it. You know, it's, you know, it just seems so
just embarrassing.
Plus, I wanted, you know, at that point, I'm like, can I just get ready for tomorrow? It's a big day, you know.
No, we can
not
tell
to
them
be
what
mean
they missed.
Or anything.
You know, when we went up, if he signed a book. He was going to do two types of things, right? You could give them like a tip or something, mm-hmm. and they had a bagged and boarded one. Mm-hmm. Colin had his ready to sign as well. I purchased one of Colin's. They signed it. I told him, I haven't read it yet, but I told him, I said, you guys were talking it up for probably 3 weeks on the podcast. And I said, it was really decent. They both signed it, you know. He said thank you. He also signed a poster because did you read the little comic in the back called
Space? It was like Space Stepdad.
Stepdad. Mm-hmm. He had a poster of it, 11x17. They signed that, gave it to him.
Oh yeah, I saw the poster.
Yeah,
I got some extras of that.
And they were really they did a good signing. Mm-hmm. They were really nice guys. And yeah, I think just the show. I was wanting to see it. Totally understood.
Yeah, I just felt bad that they drove 8 hours round trip.
For
nothing.
That. And I mean, but you can't force people. But it's just like as Colin said, what do you want? Like, what would you like to see? What kind of, you know?
Well, I think that's one of it is what do the customers here want to see?
Yeah.
But the other one, the more important aspect, is I think what you said before. How do they get their information so that Colin can promote whatever events
another listener question. Yeah, how can I best get my information to you?
Yeah. And that might be something you want to put on the website as a poll.
But if they're not looking at the website, they're not going to know.
Well, I mean, we're getting
Yeah,
it from
I know, but I'm just saying,
that's why.
But, so yeah.
You're good at this.
So the other thing I want to talk about store-wise was Comixology, because I know Josh has been using it. And it used to be really big. I had a lot of people using Comixology, and now there's really only maybe 5 or 6 people that are really updating weekly. So
what it is, if you go to pulllist.comixology.com, I mean, Comixology, if you for some reason haven't heard of it, it's the big digital comics platform. But they have a pull list site, and retailers can subscribe to have some sort of presence with them. And one of the aspects is that they can have their customers link to their store. And a customer can go to pulllist.comixology.com and essentially create their own account and set up their whole pull list. And every week on Monday morning, Colin gets an email with that customer's pull list. They change the pull list, things they add, things they drop. And the nice thing, you know, one, it gives you a nice, easy, you know, one-stop shop to manage your pull list without having to email Colin with every single change and trying to keep track of, oh, what did I tell him this? Did I tell him that? here you can just log in and see, all right, I'm pulling one copy of this cover I want. I want annuals as well. I want the ongoing issues. You can see your history. You can look months ahead to see what's coming out. But also, it gives you a nice look of all the different covers that are there, the blurb about a book. I've found myself looking through what's coming out each week, seeing something where I thought, oh, I heard about that. I didn't realize it was coming out this soon, and I'll just quickly, you know, add it to my list. And just, it makes it very easy to manage. So it's a great tool. I guess we're talking about it because Colin subscribes to this, so if the interest isn't there, then for you, I don't know if it's worth keeping this, but if it's something that people would use, that people like, you know, would find value in, then check it out, because it's definitely, for me, it's been great. And Pat, I think you started using it as well.
Yeah, I've used it. It's pretty user-friendly, and it is nice. Like I said, I can manage my pull list without having to come in and talk to Colin about it. I can just do it.
Which, if you don't have to talk to Colin at all,
that's always a plus. It's always a plus.
You, as a subscriber, also get an email on Tuesday night saying this is what your pull list is going to be for tomorrow. And it even tallies up, shows you what your total cost for your pull list is. So if you're on a budget trying to manage it, it
you
shows
you
exactly
it
what your spend
again,
is going to be.
Again, without really bothering
each
him
week.
Too much about figuring out everything that's there.
Exactly.
It's all at your fingertips.
Nice. And if you want to check it out, if you go to the store's website, PittsburghComics.com, there is a page on there for the Comixology link and
cold.
How to set things up. So it has step-by-step instructions on how to create your account and link it to Colin's store. So check it out.
Yeah. That's
because, I mean, it costs me, I think, about $40 a month. So, I mean, I'd like to have more people using it. I'm not disappointed in the people that are, but it's just, it's a tool that I'm trying
to
give out
to
you guys.
Wednesdays, too, and something like that, like that you put in.
That's what we said earlier, like
newsletter.
I'm starting to think, like a lot of your people might, if you, it's almost like you kind of have to put it into their bag in order. Like, you get them all in Wednesday.
Maybe some sort of, like, monthly
flyer. Or the news, you know, we get the weekly update emails. That might be something that can kind of go with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just a thought. I mean, you already have the subscriber list anyway from the cards.
Or even that. As part of the news list. You have that right there about the buying digital comics. You could put the...
Yeah.
And with Magic as well, like stuff that's going on with Magic, that would help you. Because I know you don't, like, it's not like you make your money on always Magic.
Yeah.
But on
your new
Magic,
job
but...
is to put together a monthly store flyer or newsletter.
He has to be literate to put
they
together
didn't pull
a newsletter.
Pulled Rodriguez.
I could do that now.
But so you update that then. So you go through you.
Yeah, and then I update everybody's list. And a lot of times it could just be, you know, I want to try this. You know, let me know. That would be a great way to do it.
Does that tell you what you're, like, let's say I remove something on my previous list. Would that remove that?
It would give me notification that you removed it.
That I removed it.
Yeah, but I'm more interested in not missing something that you want.
Yeah.
To the removal.
I'll go through, even though most of my stuff is set up on my list, I'll go through and double check it, but I will put on what cover I want for a lot of things as well.
Because it's easier.
That part
like,
doesn't
if I
always
you,
get
like,
recognized by the
Well, here's the problem. Now, here's the problem. No. I'll tell you why. On my sheet, when I print it out of my system, it just says Ivar Time Walker. It doesn't tell me what cover.
Oh, okay.
So I tell it that you want cover C, but if it doesn't list as cover C there, I don't know which one you want.
I gotcha.
That's the only time. And sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Like, Sandman didn't do that. It didn't tell me if you wanted A or B. So, like, I'd know when I checked in that I needed to hold 22 A's and 4 B's. But when I'm going to pull, it's not telling me who wants A and who wants B.
Yeah, I think that depends how Diamond lists it. If they list it as cover A or cover B, then that's one thing. But sometimes it just says cover artist. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know how that gets
done. Without going
through
the book and looking. Yeah. But even... It's still nice to be able to look and see what all the different covers are. Because I wouldn't come to the store and look at every single new book that's out on the shelves.
Yeah, and if you look through each one going back. So it's just, that's a tool that's out there for you, so please use it. I am paying for it, so... Because it's funny, it used to be the digital comic sales would basically be a wash, so I really wasn't paying for it. But then when Amazon bought Comixology... They sent all this paperwork that we had to do to get paid, and I, looked at it and never thought about it again just because it was very detailed and complicated and a lot of stuff I had no idea. And it was, like most things in life, it's easier to ignore.
That was when you had the the store that you get, like if I digitally bought.
Yeah, I still
a
have
book,
that.
They would still,
yeah, still out there. So I bet, like, I have a lot of money built up in there,
like,
now.
We still have the links in the main page.
Yeah. So I'll look at that again.
That I could never figure out on my end. Like I guess I'd have to go through your website link.
Yeah.
And then when
yeah,
all that
you go,
changed
yeah.
over, I lost track of how to do it.
Okay. I think it makes more sense now that Comixology is purely, you know, website-based purchasing, not in-app purchases.
Uh-huh.
So before, it was kind of weird if you had the app to go through some other portal to make the purchases. But now that you have to go there anyways,
oh, yeah.
you just click the link on his site.
Okay.
It's still a little extra step that seems silly.
Just bookmark your homepage.
Right, right. But if you're already on Comixology looking at the list, and then you go, oh, but they're having a sale, and I can get this for $1. And oh, wait, I have to log out, go through Colin's site. You know, it's just
yeah.
Our point to them was, hey, this is my customer.
I think that was my complaint then to you.
Why don't you just associate? And you know, it's on DC. It was like 10 cents. You know, it's not a huge amount. It's pennies. You know, but at least it's something.
Yeah.
You know, I got my customer to go to your website. Give me something. You know, so. But it used to, you know, it used to add up. But, so that's it. Yeah, I'm really not trying to complain. I just want to know how to do things better. Because I'd love to have signings. I'd love to have a lot more events. But if nobody's coming, if nobody's going to come, it's, you know, it's easier, again, to do nothing.
You can't invest in bigger, better things if you're not getting them for...
Yeah, I mean, and most of these fall in my lap. So, I mean, like, Adam Warrock's coming in December.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, we've had eight people. And it's like,
come on,
I should be able to get 20, 25 people here for that. We should be able to fill, you know, the store for something like that.
Adam Warrock does fairly well bringing in an audience. I think that's mainly because of who usually comes in. It doesn't fill up exactly, I don't think, how you want it, but it does. It filled up better than yesterday of people coming in,
yeah.
which is odd because this is a signing. That's like a music show, a comic book store. It's just like,
and also the book sold a decent.
Yeah, the book sold really well. That's why I thought there would be more people. Hey, I want to meet these guys. That book was really good. So I was just a little surprised. That's that's all I got. Things I want to talk about. Anybody else have anything else they want to talk about besides books?
I think this place could smell better now.
Adam, take a shower.
Oh,
did you watch the Fear of the Walking Dead finale?
No, I didn't. I haven't watched episode two yet.
It's a finale already?
It was only six episodes.
Are they all dead?
No.
You sound disappointed. You're just like, I wish.
There were a few more that I wanted to go that didn't, but that's okay. But civilization fell, and there was some of that good Walker chewing on people stuff that I wanted to see. So it kind of worked.
That's kind of
you
cool.
and I approached the show differently.
I've already seen what the zombie apocalypse looks like.
But we already see, to me, we have the other show that shows us 12 episodes a year of them chewing on people.
Not really. Not really. And
maybe in the most recent season.
But my thing is, I've already seen what the post-apocalyptic landscape looks like.
Yeah.
Show me how it gets to there. I know where we are today. I know where
they
are tomorrow.
But your complaint was that it was happening too slowly, but otherwise it would be one episode, then suddenly we're right where we were at before.
Well, no. I mean, it didn't have to just be... You could have drugged that out as long as stuff was happening. But the first two episodes, nothing really happened. Kind of the other thing is, you know, you're only talking about, I think, 9 days was the entire length of the series. So, you know, it was a deal, and you know, we joked around about this. If you have a transmission rate of 3 a day, in 28 days, the population of the world is gone, assuming steady... I get that it's going to happen pretty quick, especially in an area like LA where it's close quarters to begin with. But I would have liked to seen, you know, more of the, you know, kind of the infrastructure crumbling and you know, because, like, the power went out. Why did the power go out? Did zombies attack the power station? Did everybody just say, I'm not going to work today? And then, you know, the servers failed? Like, what caused that. And I'm not saying you got to get into technical detail about it. Yeah. But that would have been
I
cool
get what you're
to
saying.
See.
You're wanting he's wanting to see a little bit of the backstory.
Yeah.
You're always wondering in these type of stories sometimes, like, how did it get to there? What did this? You always want to go back. The you know, with Star Wars they did it. We were just like, we were all excited, and then it was just like, oh, Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, but that's a little bit different. There was a show on called Revolution that I think did that.
I remember that show, yeah.
That did it very well, where it started off with there was no power,
yeah.
And then they kind of went back and showed you in stages
how
things
happened. Yeah, they also had a 20-some episode season.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. I get that. But, you know, they were already promised a second season of Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And, you know, now there's going to be pirate zombies, which I think is just, that's an awesome concept. I really can't wait to see that. It's going to be like, was it Curse of the Black Pearl? But, you know, you had at least six episodes where you could have kind of went into that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, versus seeing Travis go to the shooting gallery and then he leaves. And then he takes Madison to the shooting gallery and then they leave. And, you know, then they're looking for Nick. And the army's bad, and
I just think they're trying to make it more of a drama, less, you know, just all the, I don't want to say action necessarily, but less of all the shock stuff, and more of a, you know, dramatic show.
Well, but that's just it. It didn't have to all be, you know, people getting eaten. It could have been just as simple as, well, the people that keep the power station going. You just locked up in a cage. That's why it doesn't work. It has nothing to do with a zombie attack, or it could be the zombie attack. I mean, things like that. Some of the hospital falling would have been good. I would have liked to have seen, like, we know that everybody's infected. We know what happens. They don't. Mm-hmm. Having them realize that and having them find that out would be cool. Like, zombie ER. That would be awesome.
Zombie ER?
Yeah.
How would that work?
Well, that'd be kind of neat, though. You have the zombies sitting there, people going, hey, my friend's hurt. Oh, could be nah.
They could have spent a whole episode just...
Probably brains.
What happened to him, but that guy, he's not very hungry anymore.
You know, like a whole hospital where they kind of start to realize how what happens, because... We've never gotten into that. You know, we found out in the original series because Jenner said to Rick, you're all infected. So we knew that. And, you know, because at that point, we hadn't even seen anybody turn unless they were already bitten. And then we found out, okay, it can be anything. Mm-hmm. That would have been a good thing for him to find out, where, you know, someone dies and all of a sudden half the morgue came alive and started eating the coroner. That would have been like, oh, wait a second. You need to take precaution here.
Well, I don't think that was the case, though. Like, I don't think half the morgue did pop up.
But think about it. When it first would have happened...
When it first happened, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. They could have, you know, and that's what we're talking about, though. The actual fall, the beginning of
but
it.
But still, though, even at that point, they could pop up beneath the corner, and anyone that walked in there and looked at the room would just think, oh, they must have all been infected. I don't think 9 days, six episodes they put together yet that... Everyone's infected.
No, they did. Because What's-Her-Face, the doctor even told the chick, Liza, who was the nurse.
Doctor What's-Her-Face.
The doctor, the army doctor, told her, it's too late, everybody's infected.
Matter. But yeah, at the very end of
they
the episode.
They all turn, it doesn't matter. Right, so how did she know that? How did they find out? That would have been a cool aspect. You could have spent an episode on that.
Yeah, but what you're saying, though, then makes it drag out even further. People are already complaining that it was too slow.
No,
if you want to focus on things like how did the power go out, what happened in the hospital, how did they find out about this, then suddenly you're having whole episodes almost dedicated to these different things, and 9 days turns into like 4 days.
Right, but what ended up happening is you had six episodes of the show, which was essentially the family split up, the family comes back together, the family gets... Which, by the way, is exactly what they do on The Walking Dead.
Well, yeah, that
so
part was...
You should have shown something different.
No, I agree with you on that part.
And that's, you know...
Because the ending of the sixth episode is essentially the same as the end of the fourth episode.
Mm-hmm.
When they were about to leave, and then suddenly they, you know, got sidetracked and came back.
Yeah, and, you know, and that's what it was about. It was about split up, come back together, split up, come back together. Okay, we got that, so... show us how civilization falls. Show us why it's falling. You know, what's the government doing? You know, how are they trying to stop it? Because all we see is some pissant lieutenant telling, who thinks he's Billy Badass, which, you know.
That's an awesome man.
No, it's ridiculous, because the guy's like California National Guard, and the thing that bothered me about that more than anything else was the one kid was wearing a 10th Mountain combat patch upside down. And most people probably didn't catch that, but that was my unit, so I caught it immediately. But, this guy was a National Guard lieutenant. Come on. You know, he's a weekend warrior, just the same as, the mother guy. He's not going to, he's taking his orders from somebody. Where is this coming from? It just lock the gate and leave. You know, that kind of stuff. I think that would have been more interesting.
I think they're leaving that part as a hook for comeback for season two, for more to get more of the mystery.
If they do, and I know that was going to be a concept when the original Walking Dead came out. They talked about doing some one-off episodes, like in the first episode when Rick gets in the tank. There's the one guy that's already there, and that had turned. Well, he was going to be basically the main character. You were going to see Atlanta fall and see what happens to him. He climbs into the tank. Mm-hmm. And then, the end scene would be Rick getting into the tank. That would have been cool because we would have seen what happens. Well, here was our opportunity to kind of focus on, hey, here's what happens when civilization goes to hell. And they did.
Flash?
I really like Flash.
I did too.
So did I.
I had two concerns with it.
All right, next show.
I had two concerns with it. Adam Smasher's CGI was wrong.
He looked
like Stretch Armstrong.
That's what I kept thinking, Stretch Armstrong throughout that whole thing.
And what was disappointing was Gorilla Grodd looks so good.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, if you can do that well, I think you could do this well.
This was one of the first FX stumbles on their part.
Yeah,
they've been pretty good with the effects.
Not only that, when Barry was with him, his CGI was off. The scene when he Adam Smasher grabs him, pins him against the wall, and he's going like this. It looked really they went 10 years back in computer, imagery.
But I think some of that had to do with the way they modeled Adam Smasher.
Yeah.
That probably had something to do with it.
It was just very off. The episode itself was good. It was interesting, and I don't want to ruin this for anybody, especially Colin here.
Spoilers, but...
Cover yours.
The stuff with that they explained with Harrison Wells and stuff like that was interesting.
Yeah, that was okay.
Some of it was a little too quick. Quick of a conclusion, I think, for me. But then again, they spent a whole year dealing with the stuff with his.
Yeah, and it was. It was almost out of. I don't want to say out of character, because that was kind of the weird thing about Wells with him being Thawne is. I think he grew a new respect for Barry now that he actually met him as a kid. Well, not as a kid, but. As a young man learning how to be Flash versus him being his archenemy. But it that whole part just seemed a little weird. I had a bigger problem with Caitlin, because if you remember in the pilot, you could see her turning into Killer Frost. She was very cold, very distant because of what had happened to Ronnie. And then in this, she wasn't. And I still would have thought, at that point, especially after losing him
But
I would have thought she would become more detached, not less detached.
Yeah, but in the pilot, she hadn't formed this bond with, Barry and,
Sisko?
Yeah, Sisko and everyone else.
Well, Sisko she had, because they
were
not to the
point she had after the first season where they, formed this team and are saving people and dealing with all these threats. I think now she's essentially established this family where, yes, she lost Ronnie again, but she's not dealing with it on her own at this point. And it's not mysterious. She knows.
I get what you're saying. Yeah, she's dealt with it twice.
I guess she has a better support system. Yeah, but I would think, the second time, and maybe the problem is, I think they went so far with having her being cold and detached in the pilot is why it's more of a shock. Knowing that she's supposed to end up being Killer Frost anyway, it made more sense in the pilot to do it that way. Whereas now it's almost like, well, there's no way she's going to turn into Killer Frost.
Didn't they get married at the end of the last season?
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, so that'll...
Yeah, that's kind of why I was like, eh, I don't know.
Not a bad episode. And then, like, the end.
The end was awesome. Great.
When he walks in. And then they show the next episode. Did you see that one? The part where they show the next episode and he was just like... He says, in my world, I'm also known as the Flash or something like that.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah.
It was good.
Anybody watch Gotham?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, I was really against the whole Jerome thing. I was really against it, and I'm disappointed now, because I think he nailed it, and that's... Mm.
I think there's more going on.
I never doubted that the kid could nail it or that they could portray the Joker. I was against the idea that they were going to do it in the first place.
No, so was I. I was the same. Like, I don't want to see the Joker's background, but the kid was so good.
He was good.
I'm like...
He was good.
I would love...
But they ruined it. They ruined anything good he did. They ruined with that stupid Curse on the City thing at the end where suddenly everyone's watching on TV like, ha,
ha, ha.
Although that was almost like Endgame.
Yeah, and I was thinking that too. It's almost like they channeled Scott Snyder there. Well, there was two things.
Endgame, there was...
Me and Colin were watching it here.
No, I do get that, yeah.
And
this was just...
There's two things in this show that are almost contagious. One being the Red Hood. The Red Hood. And then the other being this Joker, when he died and seeing the laugh and everything and... madness was spreading. And it's almost as if they channeled Scott Snyder with Endgame, where he's more of a, not necessarily a being, but more of a...
That's what the producers have said, and they want to make the Joker more of an idea.
Yeah, and that's the direction.
I don't know if he'll be an individual person that will have the real Joker or not, but they want to make
it... I'd rather not, you know?
Yeah,
I'd rather not, but... I was starting to really like the way they were doing the character, and I was hoping how, you know, the first season arc was essentially how the Penguin became the Penguin. Now, granted, he's not the Penguin we all know and love, but he's getting there. You can see where his story arc goes even beyond Gotham. I wanted to see something. I didn't want to see it, but then with the way the kid played him, how good he was... I wanted to see that, like, okay. And,
yeah, I don't like the idea now that whenever, if at some point down the road, or even, we don't have seen the show, but just the idea that when the Joker, you know, Batman's, you know, archenemy eventually pops up, he's just some...
He's a knockoff.
He's just some knockoff. Yeah, he's just someone who was crazy and got inspired by Jerome. Like, that, it kind of cheapens the idea of... Yeah. The Joker being, you know...
And that was a little too much madness there, where he stabbed that homeless man, and then he was just like, I killed the other guy, that's what's my answer.
Yeah, it may have channeled Endgame or the comics, but at least then there's a talks and there's some reason why people are going crazy. Not just, I'm walking past a store, I see a TV there, it has Jerome on it, and suddenly I just start laughing like an idiot, and I'm going to go stab a homeless person. It felt cheap and...
It wasn't very well explained.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Like, Jerome, the kid that played Jerome, they did a great job of making him, you know, feel like the Joker. He had the great laugh. They made him look like the Joker.
The theatrics and how it just, dying.
He really was channeling Jack Nicholson. He really was. Out of all the Jokers, he was channeling Jack Nicholson.
I don't feel like they should have done it if they're going to do it that way. And I just hated the way it ended.
Yeah.
And also with the three episodes, they so heavily did this whole Joker thing. I forgot about the Penguin. And, like, he wasn't used in these first three episodes.
Yeah, I mean, he was only in a brief...
Just at the end of this last episode. Yeah.
You know what, though? The other thing with what they did in the last episode, had he become the Joker I didn't like, was when he attacked Bruce. Because they didn't need to do that. Like, that dynamic between Batman and the Joker is already there, and it's always already so good. I wouldn't have said, well, you know, it kind of all started when Bruce was a kid and you know, the Joker put a knife to his throat. That I didn't think was necessary. But it's a minor complaint in the grand scheme of things. I mean, because I was really against the idea of him even bringing up the Joker. But now that they killed him off, I'm pissed.
Yeah, it was a little out of place. I thought if they were gonna at least go for it, if they were gonna do it. You know, don't bring him in just to kill him off and then do this whole thing. It just seems really weird. It did. It felt really weird. I wasn't too big.
I feel like the show almost lacks confidence, which is what leads to us getting this whole big Joker tease thing.
Even if they were gonna do, like, I mean, we have our own thoughts on how the Joker becomes the Joker, because of the comics. You know, it's mainly usually because of Batman dressing up, they all decide that's the way they need to do it. They were more of an inspiration. The 1989 Batman film did not, it stayed with the whole Joker, they told you who the Joker was, stuff like that. Didn't hurt it. And I don't think this would have hurt it necessarily. I think this did. I think you're right. I think it was just like, why? Like, where are you going with this is more of the question. Like, what's next? Is he going to, like, appear again? Like,
maybe he has Dionysum in his body and we didn't
maybe
know.
He'll be back. You know, who knows? I think they'd be dumb not to have him come back. I think they just went too far into him being the Joker too quick. I think they could have had a lot to do with something with not having him as a killer yet, and maybe making him into a character.
Yeah, that's I could
and
have
then finally
more
there's a reason.
If it was just like subtle things, like this kid continued to be a part of the show.
Yeah,
it was just like little subtle things that made you think, is he like, is this where we're really going to go? But it just all of a sudden the season they made it so on the nose, obvious, and the kid did a great job with it, but.
It was too much for nothing, almost.
But,
they did so much, and then at the end, they just kill them all real quick.
And maybe I'm being a hypocrite, though, because other times where, they've changed how the story is or continuity, and people complain, I'm always one to say, you lose your other stories.
I don't think the continuity changes bother me. I think they had an idea, it could have worked, and they didn't go with it.
Yeah, and well...
They did go with it, and this is it, It's kind of... It lacks something. Like, it was like, why did you do it? Like, why did we need that?
So you're saying, like, do it or don't do it, but if you're going to do it
right.
Do
you
it,
know?
Yeah.
But, as a Gotham story, what I want to see is more of the beginnings of when you start to see, like, I think they're doing it well with Riddler and Penguin, because you're seeing Riddler become a Riddler, but he's not putting on green, outfit and a cane walking around doing riddles now. That waits until Batman. But you see how he becomes, what kind of tragedies in his life lead to this.
Yeah, you see.
That's what we want to see in this show.
Yeah.
Not all of it thrown into us at once because, it's a Batman show, but we can't have Batman, but we'll put in the Joker, and it's just like, no, Commissioner Gordon's going to be the Batman. And it's just like, this isn't how it works. You need to have a feeling of Batman, But it's also with these shows, they're not necessarily, you're not the audience, They are looking for the people that are saying, the Joker's in Batman. When are we going to see him? And they're like, you'll see him now. We'll throw him out to you. And those are the people they're selling you to.
Yeah.
Not us who are just like, we know. We have a general knowledge of Batman that we can say, but the Joker shouldn't show up. But we really shouldn't know who he is. And that's the problem, I think, a lot of the time with the show. I think this is a hard show to make. But they're making it more difficult on themselves.
Well, it is. I think it needs to find focus as to what it wants to be.
Exactly.
If it wants to be a GCPD show, which was the original intent of the show anyway.
And I thought that's where it was going at the beginning.
Right.
But
so
then
stop
it's just like, I don't have Batman enough,
Stop focusing on the villains, if you will. The mob needs to be...
I think the mob needs to be the bigger character. When it's not the mob, show us characters that are kind of crazy, but not colorful crazy. Like the balloon guy. Remember the guy tying people up with balloons?
Yeah.
He seemed Gotham-esque, but he wasn't, he wasn't going around, I'm the balloon guy, and tying people up to balloons and, dancing around and had henchmen and stuff. That's what you're expecting. That's after Batman. That's always should be after Batman. But in this case, you could see it starting.
Or a character like Killer Croc, which, depending upon his characterization, could be evil, or he could be a sympathetic character.
We could see somebody that has the, because they always said it was a skin disease, is what he.
Yeah,
you can have a character in like as a mob enforcer or something like that, but something makes it worse, yeah. And that's what later turns him into Killer Croc. You know, they're jumping the gun too quick. I think is a lot of the problem. I think they're just trying to please everybody with all these Batman people. They're like, I want to see everybody from Batman, but we're not going to, because Batman's like only
yeah, Batman's 12, so it's
so
work.
He can't really, he can't do much. I don't know. It's not a horrible show. It just, it's lacking organization sometimes, yeah. And what it wants to be, as Pat said. I think that's the biggest problem with it. But I think it's good enough. I'll sit there and watch it, but yeah, I do have some, you know, I see flaws, a lot of them, and while watching. But that's the comic fan in me, too. So,
mm-hmm.
Anything else come out? iZombie came out, didn't it?
I didn't get to watch it.
I'm wanting Shield. To catch up. Mm-hmm. And oh, yeah, and Shield. Shield's been decent.
Shield's been good this season.
They're fighting Sonic the Hedgehog. And he's blue and has spikes, so I'm assuming that's who he is. Yeah, that just gnat's all over the gnat. Place. I see him. Mm-hmm.
Drive me nuts.
Get it. Come on. Wax on,
you need a cat on. For this store. Good comic stores have cats.
They got Gemma back quickly. I thought that was going to drag out.
That was a bit quick.
But
oh, they already got her back.
They built a rocket ship.
They go on. He goes to the portal, and there's this giant storm, and she sees a flare, and she's like, "I can get to you," but then at the last minute I see you, I can't move the last.
It's really at you. I know that now. I can see it. It's like I'm going to get that guy.
I'm showering, man.
It's on Colin's forehead.
You said Adam strokes, not me.
You're the ones with bugs flying around you.
I'm sitting next to you, Chief.
Stop bothering me.
Because you with the brisket knows your manly.
We just lost everybody. Let's
play. All right.
We got it, everybody. We got the map. No, it'll come back. I don't know a lot to talk about with that show, though, with S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, it has been good. It started off. Yeah. And the last season was actually pretty decent. I thought
the end of last
Kyle MacLachlan did a really good job as Hyde. And I think that's what sold that show. I mean, he just...
Except for when they actually showed him go Hyde.
He was a little...
That was some horrible...
I think we figured out in this podcast there's so much you can do with special effects on television anymore. Yeah.
Well, but again, it's...
We should change
either get Stretch Armstrong or some guy like Agent Cooper and all sorts of like crazy
but
rubber.
But they pulled off Grodd.
Rubber
if
face.
You can pull off Grodd and make it look real, then there's no excuse, especially not on a major network.
Did we see Grodd in good lighting, though? It always seemed pretty dark whenever we saw the character.
Well, he was in the store a lot, but there were some decent close-ups.
He's got enough.
Especially
yeah.
of his face and him talking, and it didn't look cheap.
Shows did that. Flash is, frankly, Flash is the best comic show on right now. I think.
Yeah,
I think it is. I think they just they have something for everybody. Unlike Arrow, I think is still a little too
CW show.
CW.
Yeah.
With the superhero, but I think they really are just like, let's create a comic book show. With
it's
Flash.
The most like a. Just a crazy
it
Silver
like
Age
a comic.
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy Silver Age comic.
When they're throwing stuff at you, like Jay Garrick,
be like that. Yeah,
it's yeah. Really, it's just it's like great. They're really hard trying to go. I mean, there's some like you know drama in it and a little bit, but
oh, yeah.
they had comics anyway.
They have fully embraced the concept of the Flash
exactly.
in its history.
Yeah,
yeah.
They're not, they're
I think
not
they've
they're
done
not shying away from anything.
Yeah, they're not afraid of it to do
but
anything.
Flash is the only show I've geeked out about. Like, oh my god,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
like when
yeah,
you know
too.
when they did the Grodd thing, mm-hmm. or when
helmet.
Garrick's
oh,
helmet
god,
came
that
through.
Was awesome.
Like, that's the only time I'm. Oh my god, I can't be because
you weren't expecting that.
Yeah.
You weren't expecting that portal open up and that metal helmet to just fly on across the floor, and you're the only person there that's just like. That is,
yeah.
you know?
The boxing glove arrow on Arrow was probably the only time.
Yeah, the other
little,
time.
But, you know, that. It, but that was like, there was one moment.
Yeah, that was neat, but it doesn't lead to anything else.
No.
Just, yeah.
No, it was just a callback to what happens. Yeah.
Yeah. But, I don't know. Yeah, they do. They just fully embrace it, like, how it's supposed to be. And I yesterday, watching it, like, and waiting to watch it, yesterday was like I haven't been for a long time that excited about a television show.
Yeah.
Coming out.
I agree with you.
But no, it's good.
So I guess we're going to talk about what we read?
Absolutely. Go for it.
Okay. I only read two. First one was Batman Annual. I really liked this. The setup was Bruce goes back to Wayne Manor, and it's no longer Arkham. What's her name? Powers. I forget what her first name
is. I forget her name, too. I feel... Is it, like, Cynthia or something?
I forget whatever.
I don't know. Something.
It smells like Jerry. Miss.
Yeah, I think it's Jerry.
Is that?
She's signing Wayne Manor over to Bruce, and, you know, Bruce is a little apprehensive at first about the whole thing.
I hate these stories where he loses everything. Like, I hate it in the movie. I hate it in the books because it doesn't make sense. It's the one thing.
He has enough, is what they were saying in this. Like, he has money still.
It just
in different ways.
Anytime they try to do it, it never makes sense that he wouldn't retain it all or wouldn't get it back in the long run. Like in the movie, whenever Bane stormed the stock market building and
that would take about
use a tablet to steal his finances and then it just stayed that way. After it's all said and done and the dust clears, someone said to me, like, so obviously a criminal did this and things will revert back to how they were. Like,
obviously this is how it happened. No, we can't. That's too much bad press.
Like,
can never go back.
You'd think that after the end of Endgame that, you know, Wayne Enterprises would have been, you know, put back to its rightful.
Because they did. They took him and they... who was it? It was Owlman, his brother one. That did it. So they should know, he did do something. So everything should go back to normal.
It should, but instead it's like Powers still owns everything and Powers is signing over the manor out of kindness. And it's like...
Unless everything was sold over to him while this was happening. Well, and they're can't do anything.
But still...
It's already sold.
You'd think someone that was with Wayne Enterprise, some lawyers or Luce or someone, would be like, so we're going to take this to court now and get everything back because obviously
that shouldn't have happened. Yeah, this happened by fraud, so we're going to...
That's what I never get.
It had a cool moment in it, if you're a fan of the animated stuff, where they mentioned Derek into the books.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's cool that they're taking that in because it's not like... It's not odd for DC to take something that they've really done well with in the animated series and bring it into the main fold, you know, to in particular Harley Quinn, and the other one being the backstory to Mr. Freeze, which never like it was with Nora and all of that. It was cool.
Animated. I was going to say, what happened first, the animated series or the abominable Batman and Robin, because that had the same backstory where he was trying to save his wife.
Was it?
Yeah.
I always thought they took Nora itself.
You know what? No, because Batman and Robin came out, I think, in 2000. No, it would have been in the late 90s. So, the animated series came out before that. So it would have been, it would have been on that first.
Yeah.
But, you know, so you had Mr. Freeze and Clayface and Riddler take over the manor, and the way they realize that something is amiss is really cool, where you know, Alfred just knows the manor so well. When he walks into the room, he's like, so what other renovations did you do, because this room is 5 feet wider than it should be.
And then it just, you see the mouth open up and the face is on the wall, and that's what they did. They hid inside of there, which it was kind of cool. It was. I really think between the annual and then the what was the other thing that we had? It was a the last issue that kind of stepped aside from Scott Snyder's main story. Mm-hmm. Those two were really good. Like, and it leads me that I'm like, these, I think they're really doing that. I think they're testing out
people who can write a good
to
Batman
see who
story.
Can write after Scott Snyder and Capullo leave. And it's going to be difficult. I really would like to see the Batman 44 team do it, which was Azzarello and who was the artist on that? I forget. Azzarello was writing the Batman 44.
Is it Jock?
Jock, yeah. I think it could be them or, the guy who did this, which he wouldn't want so much because he did the Talon story, and I wasn't that fond of that story. But
I'm almost surprised they don't have someone taking over Detective as a way to kind of fill them out and groom them instead of giving it to
instead of trying this out. It just seems like that's what they're doing though with this. I mean, they're telling
what,
really
but
good
that's
stories.
What Snyder did. Snyder did you know, he transitioned to Batman Detective. From Detective.
It was weird that they switched in that. It was Tony Daniels switched with him because originally Tony Daniels was doing Batman before New 52 and Scott Snyder was writing Detective, and then they both switched places when New 52 started. And Tony Daniels wasn't that good at writing Batman. It was just not very good. I cannot... I mean, he told this story about... I think her name was Absence, and she had a hole in her head. And it was just like, I hated that story.
His art's great.
Yeah, oh yeah, I like his art, but...
His writing is...
The story, I was just like, I don't want to know about whole head. Like, I don't... I had no interest in her at all. But, like, and at the same time... His Black Mirror story is happening. You know, Scott Snyder's Black Mirror story. I'm like, that's the story.
Yeah, that's,
like, forget him.
Black Mirror,
Tony Daniels. Detective's the way to go. So,
yeah.
But I think that's what they're doing. It was good. It was a really good issue.
The other one I read was Justice League.
I read that.
Justice League, I thought, was really, really good. Like, I'm loving this Darkseid War story. I think my favorite part of it is the Superman stuff with Lex, because he's playing so against character, and it's showing how Apocalypse, you know, corrupted him.
Yeah.
The other stuff was good, but that you know, the Superman stuff I just think is really cool because it's not a character I like particularly, and to see, you know, kind of the. Not human side, but, like, the flaws come out in them. Like, to me, that's more interesting.
Yeah.
And
I like the Hal Jordan Batman stuff.
I love that, too. Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying, but I really do like the Batman Hal Jordan stuff.
I love when he says to Hal, "You're not the hero, Jordan. The ring is."
Yeah.
Because that was reminding me of when in Infinite Crisis... When he tells Superman the last time you inspired anybody was when you were dead.
Yeah. And what does he say to him at the end? He says to the Green Lantern tells Batman, he's like, "Oh, I didn't know the chair also made you something." I don't remember what it was.
Makes you even more of a jackass. Something
like that. Yeah, that's it. He was a jackass. Yeah, yeah. That's what he said.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was good, though. Yep. It was a good issue. A lot happened at the war, and then something big happens at the end, which was really cool.
Yeah, major character death.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's really worth picking up. I mean, this story.
Yeah.
And that's the best thing right now about a lot of these DC books. You can pick up arcs, which you can't on, like, if I, you know, a while back, if I told you to pick up Avengers, you'd have to be like, where? And I'd be like... God, I don't know. Like 28
from the last series.
Number one. But good luck, you know. But with Justice League,
maybe right after Infinity
Justice League,
I guess you could kind of jump on.
Yeah, because they had that new number one on it, and they had a new something or other going on.
I was going to say, DC ever does like a big crossover event again, it has to be this Jason Fabric drawing it.
Yeah,
but this is a major event in itself, but. Man, the art was so good.
His art's phenomenal.
Yeah.
So.
That's what I read, Dave.
That's all you read, Pat?
I read.
I'll start with S.H.I.E.L.D. number 10 by Mark Waid.
The Revenge of Daisy.
Yeah, Daisy's not in this, just Fitz. But the guest star in this issue is Howard the Duck. All these stories have been one-shot stories, but this story is...
Howard the Duck makes perfect sense.
It's on a movie right now. Didn't we discuss this in the beginning?
There's been all these time incursions into New York City because of the Spider-Verse event.
What?
Yeah.
Huh? Okay.
and they need, and don't think about it too hard, but they have this talisman that they need someone to, who's not of this world, to hold
cold, to
try to fix everything. Try to fix everything, and there's an evil French chef is collecting the livers of ducks from across the multiverse to make a pate.
Giant pate.
there is no multiverse. I'm so confused.
I don't know. I don't know when this one. So they need Howard to hold this
pizza.
To hold this talisman, and he meets other. He meets the duck Avengers. Howard the Thor duck, Howard the Robo duck.
Why are they calling Howard?
There's the thing, but he's called the ever loving blue eyed Howard the duck.
Okay. The thing duck?
Thing duck.
I'm wondering if the people that were reading this for. Because they love the show and everything, are going to be kind of going, what?
Yeah. Well, it's Howard that teams up with Fitz in this, but yeah.
What's your rating on this book, Dave?
It was. I enjoyed it, actually.
Was it fun?
I thought it was fun.
Was it your pick of the week?
No, I don't think it was my pick of the week.
That hesitated.
He was trying to figure out how to say it nicely.
He was like, F no.
And then Howard sees all these different versions of himself, and one of them is Howard from the movie. Holding the guitar like he does.
Big head, big round head.
Yeah. So it wasn't too bad. I kind of enjoyed it.
Squirrel Thompson.
And art's very cartoony, but it wasn't too bad. The S.H.I.E.L.D. book that wasn't good was the 50 Years of S.H.I.E.L.D. one shot issue of the Calvary.
Did we find out why she's called the Calvary?
No, they just replayed scenes that we've already seen in the television show of how she got.
Quack, quack. We found out why she's called a Calvary last season.
Yeah, I know.
In the show.
But in the issue, she's training a new some cadets, some S.H.I.E.L.D. cadets, at this former Hydra base, and they're attacked by these robot wolves or something. And like I said, they just replayed these scenes. And there's no depth, no additional enlightenment as to the character of May.
She's got to be a mysterious Asian lady.
With ninja skills.
So
that's what she was.
Not stereotypical.
Well, not that good. But my pick of the week, I think, Josh, was Archie number 3.
Did they explain the lipstick incident?
That's coming in the next issue. That's promised for.
See, Archie next issue should be what, 6 months?
No, it's months? Archie, not not Afterlife. Not
but I
are
really
we issue 10 yet on that.
No. I did kind of laugh. Jughead number 1 came out this week, and one of them was a Francavilla, and it was Jughead along with Hot Dog. And I'm like, I'm looking at the cover, going, "Careful, that dog's gonna bite you and turn you into a zombie." It had that look.
Yeah, it's all Sabrina's fault.
Yep.
That's why she can't get another issue. It's her curse.
That was good. It's been a good book.
This was my favorite issue so far. I thought it was really going on all cylinders. The art was great. Just the character work. It's Veronica's first day. At school. And so Archie is following her around like a lovesick puppy.
Yeah, and Veronica, the whole Veronica thing, basically this issue was a Veronica issue, mm-hmm. really of everything, where she was, he kind of has a thing for her, but it's more of a thing that he doesn't want her father to know what happened to their house from the second issue.
Yeah.
That he was responsible for it collapsing, and she knows it, she's using it a little bit, but I don't think she really cares that much, because you know, she likes to upset her dad. That's just Veronica. And he's following her around, helping her with the books. Jughead doesn't like this at all.
Well, I love how they're portraying Jughead.
Yeah,
like he's Jughead he's like the smartest guy in the book.
He's the most sane one.
He's the most sane one and the guy you really want for a friend, because I love when he yelled out, you know, Veronica.
Yeah.
Hey, princess, his name is Archie.
Yeah, because she kept calling him Andy throughout the whole
thing. He kept calling him
Andy. Yeah.
Veronica, she didn't care.
And, yeah.
She's like a honey badger.
Yeah, it has him doing a bunch of things. Then Jughead's trying to figure out how to end this.
Yeah, you know? So.
And Betty's, that's when he sees Betty. Betty doesn't want anything to do with it because of the lipstick incident.
Right.
And until Veronica goes and she wants to eat the cafeteria food because she wants to feel like a normal kid. She eats it, throws up all over the place.
Yeah. Which is a 2-page spread in an Archie book.
And she goes to the bathroom. Betty's there. She's like, oh, I'll help you. You're new here. And they seem like they're having a moment.
Yeah.
And then she's like, I'll be right back. She goes, gets her some dress from the whole macro. She's just like, oh, and she laughs. She's like, oh, you have a good sense of humor or something like that. She leaves and she took it as an insult.
Yeah.
Which starts kind of the Betty and Veronica feud, I guess, is what's going to happen. And then Betty's just like, okay, now I'm going to help you. And it was good. It was a good issue. This whole book has been really, I wasn't expecting it to be as good as
I especially like this issue. And this issue is also notable because it has a crack reference in an Archie comic book.
What?
Crack?
Because Veronica's like, what's
that? It wasn't Archie bending down to work on the
no,
sink, was
Veronica's
it?
Like, what's that? They're in the hallway, and Veronica's like, what's that smell? Is that what they call crack?
Oh, yeah.
And Archie says, it's Coach Cleats.
Yeah. I like how they've been drawing the teachers just how they looked in the old
books. We get to meet a lot of the teachers the first time in this issue.
But no, it's fun. It's really worth it. I'm kind of excited to read Jughead, so, which came out today.
Yes.
Did you buy it?
Yep.
Good.
Almost forgot. I had to tell him yesterday.
Last night, after I was at home, and I had to remember.
It's like, remember, get Jughead. And he's like, got
it. You set your pull list up through Comixology, you would have forgot it.
Oh, see, I'll have to do that. It's a good commercial right there.
That's why I keep Josh around.
Mm-hmm. Josh?
Then he's the only one that knows how to work your website.
I bet he was too.
You really threw me
off.
But he
does work the poll on the website. So.
I do. All right, so my favorite book last week was a Book of Death tie-in. So the Fall of Harbinger Book of Death tie-in. This book, it really, like, all these Book of Death tie-in issues have been really kind of like heartbreaking, especially if you have been reading the characters for a while. This one, so it's taking place far into the future. I think it was close to 200 years into the future. And Peter Stanchik, who's one of these harbingers, a very powerful harbinger, who has been, you know, the main, you know, opponent to Harada, who has been the big, you know, anti-hero, but he's kind of in between an anti-hero and a villain. What he thinks he's doing is the right thing, but how he goes about it is very wrong. So in the future, Stanchik is head of this Harbinger Foundation, but the Harbinger Foundation has become almost like a country, and you find out that there are other countries like this. Like, it looks like Destiny also is, you know, leader of some other faction of people or a nation. And they find out that Harada, who had, you know, exiled himself to space, is coming back to Earth. And this big character throughout the whole, you know, Valiant universe since it came back, the Bleeding Monk, had died and had told Peter that Harada is coming back and it's signaling the end of everything. So he is, you know, going out to try and, you know, confront Harada before he, you know, makes it back to Earth. And you see him in this ship, and he's going out there to confront him thousands of miles away from Earth with the rest of the renegades that were from the Harbinger series.
And you see they're all old, but you know they're all with him. And you find out that they're actually just his, you know, projections of them. He's using his abilities. So it takes you through how each of them had died and gives you, you know, backstory on them, and leads up this confrontation with Harada, which there's more to it than you initially think, and it leads to essentially him. He doesn't fail his mission, but it comes across almost like he does, and there's still, you know, widespread destruction in it. But it just, for not seeing the Harbingers for a while, since their series wrapped up, it did a really good job of showing, you know, what happened with them. And again, just like the other books, tying into this whole future version of the Valiant universe. Like, I think all these books have done a great job of planting seeds for little things we know about from the books that have taken place in that 4000 AD era in the Valiant universe, like Rai and whenever Eternal Warrior jumped ahead. And I think it's really cool that they keep, you know, with each of these books telling the story, but planting, you know, more and more seeds and building on those threads and fleshing out how things come to be in that part of the Valiant universe. So I'm excited to see where the last one, the Fall of Exo Manowar, goes, I guess this month now, October. Mm-hmm. Colder, which I forget what the subtitle was to this.
Yeah, I don't remember.
It is Colder Toss the Bones, number one. So this is the start of the third volume of the Colder series by Paul Tobin and Juan Ferreira. This is the last, you know, mini series within the series. It's a trilogy of trades, I guess. This is just a really good horror book. The story is carried through from the first volume. So the first volume, they had them established, Declan and the main villain, Nimblejack, is this really creepy villain who feeds off of almost like insanity. So as people are, you know, getting crazier and crazier, he feeds off of that and lives between the real world and this, you know, nightmare world called the hunger world. And as he gains power over people's insanity, he, you know, can manipulate them in the physical world, almost like a Freddy Krueger type character. And at the end of the first volume, you know, they were obviously able to kill him, but then in the second volume, they were up against this really creepy character called Swivel, who was all about cutting off people's fingers and mm-hmm. growing them almost like crops.
I know the covers.
Yeah, yeah, the covers are really creepy and great. And it resulted in him being brought back through this big sacrifice. So this is the, you know, the final confrontation between Declan, who we find out from the last volume may have been a serial killer himself at some point, and Nimblejack. And it's the art's great, the story's great. It's just a really good creepy horror book.
Yeah, I only ever read the first series, but it was really. I enjoyed that. Yeah. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I've loved all of it so far. So I think this is a 5-issue miniseries. So it'll be 3 nice trades when it's all said and done. And the last one I wanted to talk about was a book that had a bit of controversy last week, which was the Aquaman.
Oh, issue. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I read about that. I didn't read it.
Yeah, so this was Aquaman 44. And essentially, this whole issue was Aquaman coming back to Atlantis and confronting Mira, or who we thought was Mira.
Right.
So the controversy was that he goes and confronts her, and he's trying to convince her of his position, and they're arguing back and forth, and she tells her guards to go away. She's not, you know, sticking her guards on him, but they're still at odds, and it eventually leads to them hooking up. So he doesn't realize that's not actually Mara. We found out in the previous issue that it was her sister, Siren, okay, and that Mara is held captive. So there was a lot of controversy in that. It was essentially, you know, kind of a rape-themed scene where he thinks she's someone else, and she, I don't want to say persuades him.
Was that the issue with it, though?
Yeah, the issue was
that what the exact wording was, that they almost seemed it as being a rape?
That's what people were saying online, yeah. That it was, like, even reviews were saying had rape undertones to it.
Yeah.
Because they had sex, and he thought that she was someone else, and she took advantage of him,
Yeah.
And that's what they were saying. That they were saying the book was almost playing it up that rape was okay because she was a woman.
I don't think they said that at all.
One of the reviews I saw said that.
I don't think that was said in the book, though, at all.
Well, and that, I don't think the book was trying to make it.
I think he looked at it like he was deceived. Like, yeah. He saw it as that. I don't think they were just like, oh, no. He's like, oh, it's okay. You know, you're somebody else. I mean, they didn't make a point of that, so I don't see that.
Yeah, but that's what a number of reviews I saw online were trying to say. I don't have an issue. Like, I didn't look at it and think that it was, you know, an overt rape scene, or that they were trying to make light of rape at all. But what I didn't like is that they just used a very overused trope, where someone doesn't know someone's identity, they're masquerading someone else,
we kind of knew this from the beginning that it wasn't her. Because remember, we were saying
we knew,
we were just like, this is not. It was so obvious, but I think this story is very disorganized.
It is, and I think that's a problem. The further in I get with it, the less I'm able to defend it, I guess.
Yeah, it's getting really, because I'm still reading it.
I'm reading it.
I'm just like, why am I reading this?
But
still?
One of those books where I'm starting to think, like, I was enjoying this book so much before, and now I'm really.
Is that the same writer, Josh?
This is Colin Bunn now.
Oh, okay.
Writing
I thought it.
It
was still Jeff.
And
I don't even know why you ask. Everything's written by Colin Bunn.
I'm not the biggest Colin Bunn fan. He writes some stuff that's okay, but for the most part, I find all of his stuff kind of middle of the road.
Yeah.
And
I would say sales are dropping.
Of Aquaman? It's confusing, and the art is terrible.
I think they summed it up, at least, in this issue. Like, they gave you a little bit more on what's going on here, you know? Because that's
been
my question.
They gave you more
here?
With the backstory, but this issue, it just, none of it made sense. Like,
yeah.
Okay,
it didn't have to be.
He goes there, breaks in the palace and confronts Siren, who is Mira. She has to keep appearances to not give away who she is. They end up sleeping together, you know, whatever. She's the villain, you know. But then for her to suddenly turn and be like, ha ha ha, I'm actually Siren and you've slept with me now.
Yeah, it was just like, that was her plan. That was her only plan. She's like, no, I'm leaving. I was really
It just doesn't make sense. Like, why would you suddenly reveal who you are? Why was it more important to, you know, be like, gotcha. Got you to sleep with me, and I'm not really Mira. You cheated on her.
Once you get over one part of this book that's confusing, they like throw you another part.
It's just cheap. It's a cheap.
Like, you're looking at it now, and you're like, okay, now why is she hiding out as Mira? Like, that's our new thing, and it's just like,
because she gets
answer
to rule,
some questions before you ask.
She gets to rule Atlantis, which is the other thing that doesn't make sense to me, as to why Atlantis would be following Mira in the first place, because. Yeah. Since New 52 started, we had Orm.
She's not part of them.
Orm was the king of Atlantis. And then whenever the whole Throne of Atlantis thing happened and Orm was arrested and Arthur took his rightful place, the king of Atlantis, they really pushed against him. Like, no one seemed to want him as their ruler. They still wanted Orm. And then when he brought Mira in as his, queen, they pushed against her because she was from this other, colony.
And I forget what it's called. It's like Zabel.
Zabel, yeah. So then there was plots.
And they never got along because they were a separate colony. So that's what seemed odd about Mira being, they're not one of us.
They were oppressed by Atlantis, I think.
Yeah.
So then you had factions of Atlantis, the one to kill Mira. So why all of a sudden, whenever Arthur doesn't just want to eradicate this threat without knowing more about it, why would Atlantis suddenly rally behind Mira, who they didn't trust and wanted to kill in the first place? It doesn't make sense.
It's a very disorganized.
There's a lot of things that just. It feels like it's ignoring too much from the previous issues.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's one of my biggest problems with DCU. Some of these books, you take them in a new direction, that's fine. But you had a book that was doing fine, that wasn't doing fine previously. And now you're just like, no, change it all over again. And it's just like, why? You had something going for you. It was Aquaman was doing
well.
That's
what I was
going to
say. It's Aquaman. It's not Batman.
Aquaman was doing good for you, and you were just like, no, I could do better. It's just like, well, don't ask for more, you know?
Like, I don't mind the whole, if you want to have Aquaman be a fugitive and he's trying to bring these, you know, ancient Atlanteans back into the fold and whatnot. Yeah. Fine,
but connect a little bit too.
But don't make it so damn confusing.
No, it's confusing.
Get a decent artist on there because the art has been so back and forth. Like one minute it's fine, next minute it's awful, like, especially like the faces.
Yeah,
and don't use cheap, you know, plot elements or you know, mechanisms to further your story.
Especially, it was that one issue today, or the last week's issue, that you're looking at trying to figure out, like, why is this all dedicated into one book? Like, isn't there more you could have done with this? That whole issue was that.
It was just that. It was just that.
And this was the first time they actually told you what was going on, but it's just, like, how many issues into this arc are we in?
Like, there was, you know, since there was so much, you know, online back and forth about it, I saw, like, on Twitter, Colin Bunn had some comments saying, you know, it's really frustrating when people, you know, lash out about one single thing without knowing the whole story first. And I'm like, give me a break.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to know the whole story to know that what you had in this issue was kind of a cheap storytelling element.
Yeah. It not only was not only that,
has he ever met a comic book fan?
Yeah, that's exactly. What we do. I was just going to say that. You kind of need to, but the thing about it is, and it's not even just that part, because that part I look at even though I'm just like, not necessarily that wasn't a cheap, that was cheap.
It made Sirens such a cheesy villain.
You know, it's not that that wasn't a cheap gimmick, which it was. Yeah. It was the fact...
Gimmick's the word I was looking for before.
That... it wasn't very, it's just this whole thing has not been very laid out very well.
Yeah.
You know, and not only that, you know, I don't know, the whole thing was just, it's just a stupid idea, you know, and nothing has really been explained with his art at all until this issue. But as I said, how many issues have we been into?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, there's not a lot. It's, as I said, not organized. It seems choppy. Like, the whole book seems really choppy.
Yeah.
It's just like, eh.
And I've been, like, kind of defending it, this arc, but now I can't anymore. And I'm looking at it thinking, I'm not enjoying this, but I'm only buying it because I've been buying it for 44, you know, plus issues, and I don't want to stop right now and then jump back on. So I'm trying to ride out whatever this arc is, but...
It's getting really hard to do that, though.
It is.
This book.
It is.
And Colin Bunn needs to get over himself because, like, it's just, you can't, you're going to get that.
Yeah.
You know, no, you can't just say, oh, well, they're nitpicking it without knowing the rest of the thing. Well, you're not giving them enough to not
like, nitpick. I can understand him being upset about the people that are saying how, like, the rape aspect.
Yeah.
They're claiming about that. But it doesn't change the fact that It was a dumb thing to do in the first place. Yeah, it just
dumb.
It
did was you not think that was going to go over well?
Yeah.
I mean, you could have done a lot.
Or if they did sleep together like that, leave it with him still not knowing who. Don't immediately afterwards have her reveal herself and cackle and, you know, it's just... Yeah, it's,
she was like, ha-ha.
Yeah, it's silly.
She did. She made a big production.
She did. It was this big thing like, now I got you.
Got ya. And now I'm here again. What up?
I've completely spoiled the any advantage I had, any upper hand, just to make you angry that you've slept with your sister-in-law.
Yeah.
Quack, quack.
Whole fight broke out on this game.
Mm-hmm. This game is not looking...
They're mad about great. Aquaman.
They're mad about him. They're like, Aquaman, that was so good. And then what happened?
What happened, Colin?
Colin Bunn. Bunn. Yeah.
That guy tricked that guy into sleep with his sister-in-law. And...
Yeah, that was it. And they all did it underwater. It was crazy.
Colin?
Me, the only thing I read that we haven't been talking about is Sandman Overture, and sadly, there's no real way I can discuss it.
Yeah, you can't discuss.
It's one that I'm going to need to reread when it's all collected, only because it's been over such a long period of time.
I've held off on reading them.
Yeah, I mean, it was very good. The art was great. The story was great. It ended right. The very last scene was Sandman in the circle, captured by Aleister Crowley and his group. So, I mean, it definitely went where it was going. Lots of neat little twists and turns, but as far as specifics,
definitely went where it was going.
Well, no, it was the prequel to that. So it ended where they told us it was going to be.
Gotcha.
It was the prequel to,
Sandman.
The original Sandman stuff. So, But it was...
That Gatorade didn't do anything to you.
It was it was excellent. I can't... You know, that's one where the trade and the collection is going to sell great over the years.
Now, did you enjoy even though the art's awful?
You know, it was a struggle. My eyes bled. But, no, it was absolutely a beautiful book. Just fantastic. So,
yeah. The eyes weren't, you know, facing different.
You know, I didn't even notice. Most of the things were aliens anyway. So, but yeah, there's a lot that, you know, referencing prior issues, and you just don't know. I couldn't remember. I mean, the first one came out so long ago.
Yeah, I read through, I think, issue 2 or 3, and after that I was like, I'm just going to keep buying them and wait until they're all out, and then I'll sit down and read them in one sitting.
Yes, yeah.
That's best with something like that.
I'd recommend that, yeah. Huh. So that's all, yeah, that's all I got. I only read the 3 books.
Jeez,
and
Colin.
That was one of them, so I'm sorry. I had a lot going on. I filmed a TV show. Give me a break.
Yeah, how many TV shows were you on?
Yeah, exactly.
5?
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. You just don't watch them.
Okay, that's right.
They're all in Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With him doing his crafts.
Didn't you do a show about that Zelda guy saving that princess?
Pretty sure Zelda's the Zelda guy. Yeah, you're right. Sorry.
Jeez, what? We didn't ruin my joke. Jeez.
You don't overthink it.
Rich, what'd you read?
That was going so well, and then you were doing...
Well, actually, I only have one, but I'm going to be like Colin and kind of defer, too, because, I read The Sandman, and I would have not been able to contribute anything either.
Well, at the beginning, there was a cat, and then it turns out the cat wasn't a cat, and then...
Something.
What was
that? It was a clip of the Matrix.
Yeah, and then they all had to think real hard, and then it went into reality, and...
They were happy.
Yeah, it was...
Yeah. But they flipped. But, so the only one I'll mention was I'm going to do kind of the same thing for Providence number 5, which is the Alan Moore sort of horror story following this former newspaper reporter from New York who's schlepping around New England looking, trying to find occult stuff. It's just, it's kind of like I can't really sum up what's happening exactly, so I'm going to just kind of say that, you know, he's still wandering around and there's just weird stuff happening in this, so... So anyway, that's all I'm going to say, because I think the only other one I read was the only one Adam had, so I'll give him a chance.
We'll both talk about it.
Yeah.
Okay, Superman 44.
I read that.
Did you? Because I completely forgot what happened in it. all I remember,
kind to it.
I remember the end. It hasn't been as good as I thought it was going to be. Like, it really hasn't. Not to say it's a bad story.
I think it hurts it that this takes place in the past.
Yeah.
I think because the fact that we're seeing the fallout in the other books makes you not care so much about what's going on in the main Superman book.
Yeah. If I remember correctly, let's see. There's so much going on with Superman, though. Like, he was in Grayson, he's in that, and I am having
That's
a hard time remembering which book he is in.
Now, so this ties back into the question that Mark asked. This book is almost hurting as a result of them doing their own thing, because suddenly in each of these books, they're taking place in the exact same time, because it's right after he was outed. He's everywhere.
Yeah.
He is in so many different places doing so many different things. Over here in Batman Superman, he is... fighting the underground people.
Justice League, he's doing his own thing. At least that's why I said, at least he's in a different outfit. Because
it's
a
different
power.
Time frame.
Exactly.
But these are all the same time frame. In Grayson, he is in Gotham, hanging out with Dick Grayson. And
he seems to be in Gotham a lot, actually.
He's gone through several motorcycles.
Yeah, and he mentions that. He names them. One of them was Lana, which I thought was kind of weird.
Yeah, which means he broke the one that Alfred gave him.
Yeah. It's just like, Alfred, he doesn't...
You
know,
ride Lana too hard. I'm sorry.
Oh.
It's late. It's after 10. I'm tired.
Wake up.
I've had enough of Adam. No.
Yeah, but you had enough of Adam within 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, what that guy said.
Again, it's 10 o'clock. I'm going to start to lose it myself.
You can wake up till noon, so...
No, I didn't. I've been awake forever.
Forever?
Never go to sleep. Anyway, so...
That explains a lot.
What exactly...
You should be able to read a lot more than that.
OK.
Because like, I remember
all the
that
the Daily Planet's taken hostage.
Yeah, yeah. They're okay. That's the one. Okay, I got it now.
Perry's all upset
and Perry's shot.
Okay, I had one.
What?
Yeah, Perry.
Perry White shot.
It's a bunch of floor. Random villains. Some of them are Superman villains. The only one that really threw me for a loop was Killer Croc.
Mm-hmm.
And I also didn't like him being in it because he's taken a whole different course. Like, he's so different anymore with Batman Eternal and that is, seeing him in here as a villain, I was just like is this?
Like Riddler, he is depicted differently in every single book that he's in.
Yeah, and I'm just like, pick a way you want him to be. I like him kind of as a kind of a misunderstood, you know, not a good guy, but he's doing what he needs to do to survive.
Reminds you of yourself.
There you go.
Except for Croc has better complexion.
Oh, thank you. But anyways, he's
calling you pasty.
I know. Well, not pasty, scaly, I guess. Cause I don't know. I don't want to get. What am I getting? What am I helping him for? Yeah. So they're dealing with that whole thing. This story just, I don't know. There wasn't too much to this issue, I don't think. And then I don't know at the end if the creatures. Or whatever they are, aliens, or are they the shadow creatures that he's dealing with in the other book? Because they almost seem like shadow creatures, but are they the same? I don't know. It was kind of, I don't know, I think it was a really, again, I think Superman, Geoff Johns was doing a good job.
Yeah.
And as I said, and who is writing this book right now?
Gene.
Yuen Lang? No.
Gene Yuen or something like that?
Yeah, Gene Yuen Lang. Yeah.
It's, the thing about it is, this is where they screwed up with Superman. They were wanting to get interest back into it. They put Geoff Johns in it, which will drag interest into a lot of books. He did a good story. Then they replaced him with whoever. Instead of just saying...
Well, I think he left to go do with TV.
Yeah, but I think they needed to put somebody involved that could at least hold the book better.
I don't think this writer is a bad writer. I just think...
It's his first time doing superheroes. He's done slice of life stuff.
Yeah. I just think this whole storyline is kind of getting a bit too disjointed.
Yeah. I actually haven't been impressed with the new book. See, I'm the opposite of how everybody, not here, but everybody else seems to be buying these books. I'm more interested in the DCU books that came out, like Prez and Dr. Fate and those new ones. And I'm not interested at all in what they're doing with the characters that I was reading before. Like, Superman. Batman's okay. Like, I like the Batman issue, but I'm not that interested in Commissioner Gordon as Batman. Well, just, it does, it's not that, it's probably the least that I have a problem with, but I'm just like, okay. But if they can tell a good story, fine.
I would be more interested in the Superman thing if each of the various books that are focusing on him wasn't just him taking on some threat with less powers than he normally has.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's people are mad at him, and he's taking on some giant threat with less powers.
Yeah.
In action, it's the shadow thing. In Batman, Superman, it's the underground people.
Though.
Action's better because Greg Pak does...
I think Greg Pak does a good job.
He does a great job writing Superman. And Aaron Kruger is phenomenal on art.
Yeah.
Batman.
I don't know. Even Batman Superman, but that's Greg Pak as well, right?
Yeah, but I don't think he writes Bat Gordon that well.
Yeah. I don't think he does either, no. I don't think he does either, but not a lot of people have that feel for him. But I think he does a good job writing. He does a good story. You can read it. It usually they're not long arcs. The way I see it, if you're having a hard time picking up this character, don't write him in a long arc, and it's a long arc, and that's the same with Aquaman. You know, they're taking the story and it's just like going on forever, and it's not really tying together or getting somewhere.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the problem right now I'm seeing with, you know, existing DC stuff.
They changed it. Have his top of mind, you know, best efforts.
They can't.
You know, it just can't.
He's writing way too many books.
Yeah. But, I mean, not to say it's a bad book. It's just, it could be a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
It could be more interesting, I think, sometimes even with less arcs. I picked up a book that has two arcs before, and I've enjoyed it. You know, but you get these things that they're just like, let's draw out a story for five issues. And it's just like, did you have to?
And you both know? These books are books that Geoff Johns brought back to, you know,
Promise. But Geoff Johns, that's the thing about Geoff Johns. Geoff Johns can write long arcs,
and each issue seems like you read a new issue.
Because Geoff Johns knows where he's going with
it. Johns knows the DC Universe. I think he knows how to write it and organize it.
It's tough following up Geoff Johns on it.
Oh, definitely.
Geoff Parker took up Aquaman after Geoff Johns, and it had some stumbles, but it was still really good.
I think it's possible to take on the DC, I think when they, early New 52, I think when they were just like, okay, this writer's going to leave, he's going to do another book, I think they had the ability of going in and having somebody take over, and they kind of picked it up fairly well. And I think Geoff Johns, and who was it after Aquaman? Geoff Parker. And
he did a good job.
It felt like the same book. And then after that, and were your numbers declining on Aquaman before
since Johns left? No, it was good throughout Johns' run. After Johns left, though, it did decline.
It did start to decline. Has it taken more of a drastic drop
lately
now?
Yeah.
Okay. See,
yeah,
but
it's not so much
sub holds,
it's shelf copies.
But you couldn't expect them to. You couldn't expect the numbers to hold.
You knew
where they were.
Johns left, it was going to drop.
Yeah. But you didn't expect that.
It held
just
pretty well through Parker.
And that's Parker, because then it was still a decent story.
It still had a little bit of that Geoff Johns feel to it. I think they just chose their writer better. But in this, I think they were just like, let's just switch it up drastically and let them tell a different story. Continuity doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that did good for them. Yeah. I really don't, for everything.
And the writer on Superman, I think that with a different arc, he would be fine. But it's just this arc. And being in the past when the other books already told us what happened.
And too many shadow creatures all over the place that I can't figure out who's who, you know?
It's just like, Scott Snyder wrote a good Superman.
Sometimes it's just like, if you don't have a villain to go, just throw in shadow creatures. Because, it's like they just
when in doubt, throw in shadow creatures.
Shadow creatures, Nazis. That's your villains. I think.
Russians.
It depends on the decade, you know? It's just like. Yeah. I don't think right now. I don't think we can go up again. We're not going to be like Russians, you know. But back in the '80s, you'd be like Russians.
What are you talking about right now?
Well, not like you could then.
Who's kind of crazy? Yeah, he's bringing crazy back.
That's true. But nope. That's that's all I read. Besides what else we talked about. So.
Okay.
So what's coming next week?
Next
Colin?
Week?
Nothing. You don't got any books.
There are lots of books coming. Look at all these books.
Don't come to my events. You don't get books.
No, I didn't say that. No, I'm not. I just I just want to know how to do it better. That's all. That's all my point of that. A-Force looks like the last issue of that. Assassin's Creed, a new one from Titan. Batmite 5, Batman 45. Batman and Robin Eternal 2, believe it or not, weekly. Crazy.
Which the first issue was phenomenal.
Batman animated series action figures. We're getting Batman, Riddler, and new Batman animated Batgirl. Yeah. Sorry, I tried to figure out what NBA was. No, it's not National Basketball Association. two Batman black and white statues. We're getting the Joker by Bermejo, the second edition. That one was fantastic, if you never saw it. And then Scarecrow by Danda. I know we got the Batman in. It was a little wonky looking, but not wonky, just different. We got Battling Boy, Fall of the House of West, which is the third book in Paul Pope's Battling Boy story. Broken Moon number 2, which is kind of funny. There was a 1 in 10 variant that a customer wanted, so I ordered 10 of it, going, "Oh man, I'm gonna, you know, whatever. Try to keep happy customers." That book was really, really good about vampires. I think I talked about it. Where it was a space race to the moon. And it had been colonized, and then there was a war on the moon, and someone launched nukes and broke the moon, which destroyed everything on Earth because it upset the tidal waves and everything, and that then released the vampires to take over.
That does sound nice.
And they were keeping humans and, like, using them like cows, keeping them alive to get the blood, and they're trying to escape, and a couple escape, get into the woods, and werewolves save them. And that's kind of how it ended. Mm. So, interesting. It's just a little four-parter. Probably it's
Twilight.
I think it's by... It's by Famous Monsters, that company that does that. Captain America, Sam Wilson. Interesting that they juxtaposed the names, because originally it was Sam Wilson, Captain America, which I... No, it doesn't sound like a big deal, but
no, it is.
I think part of the problem is I don't think 99% of America knows who Sam Wilson is.
Yeah.
If you say the Falcon, they'll go, oh, yeah, from the movie.
If you're going to sell it as Captain America, sell it as a Captain America.
Yeah, so I don't know where you're going. I don't think he's got a big enough... name to pull that off. Chewbacca number 1. sure.
He threw him off guard. Like, oh, yeah.
I highlight this just because this is the fun part for me. It's a little bit of Christmas. I'm getting my Diamond Select Toys Diamond Summit Sampler and my, what was it? It was the Summit Retailer Appreciation Pack. Basically, it's $65 to go to the Summit. And you get variants and stuff, but they do realize, I mean, it also cost me $300 for the hotel, and it cost me a little bit of gas to drive down and back. Yeah. The car did really well. I was very, very impressed with the car. When I went down, it was straight shot 4 hours. I never got out of the car and pulled in, and all of a sudden realized when I got out of the car in the parking garage trying to stand up after sitting for 4 hours that, yeah, I hadn't stood for 4 hours. So it's kind of fun. So we're getting these kind of thank you packs. Normally it's kind of random stuff. Hey, look, we have this laying around and this laying around. But it's a little bit of Christmas. Like, what's in the box? So.
What's in the box?
It's kind of fun. I get two boxes of, I don't know what it is. And 9 times out of 10, it's like, what the heck?
Yeah, oh, look, a box. Box you get that
yeah,
has,
it's
like,
a box.
The random
well,
stuff.
Yeah, like the box of baseball it's cards. Okay. Cell, you know, it's just, you kind of think that, you know, they send the guy in the warehouse with, you know, some boxes and pull some old crap.
Anything that's been there for 3 years.
Yeah, pretty much. So, almost as much fun. Every once in a while, they would do a thing. It's called a one-of-a-kind box. Basically, you're buying, again, a random box. Gotten some real, I think that's actually where the baseball cards came from. It was a really, really random box. But it worked out. Like, there was,
remember,
like, an older, like,
he's probably still here, Mickey Mouse Spock. Remember that?
Yeah, that was in that. Yeah, and that remember those, the white things? I think we finally got rid of on Free Comic Book Day.
Oh, is
that
coming out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know those came in.
Yeah,
that,
so you never know. You'll see what's coming. Eve Valkyrie, sorry, my I silenced my phone, so now it's vibrating, but it's on the charger.
I thought it was still here. That's
no,
why I was
it's
like,
over there.
It
was almost dead, so I had to move it. Eve Valkyrie, which I think is a video game. That's from Dark Horse. I just like the title of this. It's Frickin' Butt-Kickin' Zombie Ants. I thought that was an interesting.
It's the new six-gun garage.
Yeah. clearly not a kid's book. But yeah, I thought that was an interesting title. G.I. Joe Cobra World Order Prelude. So a new G.I. Joe book coming. Goon in Theater Bazaar. I'm wondering if it's Theater of the Bazaar, but number one, so a new Goon book. One I'm kind of interested in looking at, the graphic ink, the DC Comics art of Darwin Cook, which I think could be kind of cool. Gravedigger number 3. I know I'm the only one reading it, but I'm intrigued as to how this is getting a third issue when the story ended in number 2 and what exactly this is going to be. So
Guardians of Galaxy.
Yeah, which makes it fun when you're searching, because if you type into the search engine on Diamond Site, Guardians of the Galaxy, nothing comes up because it's Guardians of Galaxy.
That's dumb.
Number one, so the new one. Harley Quinn and the Monster Variant. I Hate Fairyland. That's the book by Scotty Young. The Image book that he's been thinking about for a while. Journey into Star Wars...
Force Awakens.
Force Awakens, Shattered Empire. No, because it says FASE, and I'm always trying to remember what those initials are. Yeah, man, wow. This is a weekly now, and watch, the last one will ship right before the movie comes out.
Well, that's
what
should. Or come out today.
Yes.
Have one come out November 1st, then December 1st, and then the movie comes out.
No, no, you can't schedule comics. You ship them as soon as you get them.
The guy said so.
Yeah. So then we have Justice League of America 4, and you can tell it's a little bit late because it also has the Green Lantern variant, so I'll call out DC when they're late.
They're late, DC.
They're late. New Lumberjanes book, Beyond Bay Leaf. Marvel Zombies 4, I don't know how many that's going, but Mickey Mouse 5. Ms. Marvel 19 is, I think, the last issue of that series until the new number 1 comes the week after. New Avengers number 1. Ninjak.
Yay.
I have some pops coming. I'm trying to figure out how to take those home and make sense of it. It's the Rocky Horror Picture Show pops. I'm just trying to figure out how to explain Frankenfurter to Deck. Dad?
What's that?
So. One here, I have no idea what it is. RRH number 1. It's... I don't know what that is. Sex Criminals number 13, and I enjoy that the variant cover, the one that you can't look at, is bagged, is by Arthur Fonzarelli Cooper.
Hey.
I just found that funny. Hey. But apparently, I never knew that's how you spell Fonzarelli. Spider-Gwen number 1, thank goodness, because it, you know, after issue 5, we've all been dying for more Spider-Gwen.
Is that the Gwenpool cover?
No, but there is a cosplay cover, so we'll see how that goes. The cosplay covers that came in so far today, I'm looking at them just kind of going... Their parent must be so proud and are buying as many of this as they can. Because, like, who in their right mind is going to want a cover with a guy dressed up as Doctor Strange on it? It's just, He only wants Zelda. But sadly, I'm regretting even ordering these because it's just really dumb. You know, nobody else other than the people on the cover is going to want these. So
this is really just
it is. Dumb. It just it's dumb. Spider-Man 2099 number one. Star Trek.
Sell out of those ones.
What the cosplay? I would love to sell out of the cosplay. I didn't sell one today. One of the things that's a little bit fun, you'll enjoy this, is there was a bunch of sale things at the summit, mm-hmm. and I finally remembered. Normally, I come home with the sheets and go, oh, crap, because you had to turn it in by the end of the summit. This time, I actually remembered to turn them in, so I'm getting Star Trek Black Handle Phaser. I'm getting a Klingon Disruptor. Oh, yeah, we're going to have fun.
The Disruptor is an old one.
Yeah, these aren't new, but they just had them on sale, so I was able to get them for cheaper than normal. So, but Star Trek Green Lantern number 4 is coming next week. Strange Fruit number 2, finally. Number 1 came out when I was in San Diego, yeah, so that's been a while.
Long time for that one.
Now, I realize it's J.G. Jones painted art, but just an idea, you might want to...
Hurry up.
Well, no, not hurry up, but wait, hold number 1 until he gets closer to being done.
I forgot about that book.
Yeah, that's my fear. I know. You know,
he doesn't have shelf space, because...
Yeah. Superman, Lois, and Clark, number 1. I'm a lot more intrigued by this one after seeing the preview pages and stuff. Where it's in reality, where somehow we're going to have two Supermans. So,
well, the current one doesn't have any powers, so.
Right, so this one will.
Huh. That means you can have both.
Sweet.
You can have both of both.
Switch number 1, which I think is a Top Cow book, along the lines of Witchblade and all that fun stuff. Twilight Children, which is the Vertigo book by Darwin Cook, or drawn by Darwin Cook, written by Gilbert Hernandez. So that,
I thought it was
that
like
one
a little
should be
version
good.
Of like little sparkly vampires.
Sure. I just noticed Two Brothers hardcover, which is by Gabriel Ba and Fabio Moon, which is a book that they did. Only as a hardcover, not as issues. So, Uncanny Avengers number 1, only the second number 1 of that book this year. Dave, another one. Uncle Scrooge, number 7, is coming next week. Unity, 23, is coming out. Walking Dead, because Walking Dead and Batman always seem to come out the same week. I don't know why, but move them. Welcome Back, number 2. That was a boom one I know I talked about.
Boom.
Yeah, well, it was either We Come Back or Welcome Back, but I really enjoyed that one. What If Infinity X-Men, because the What If sold great today, both of them.
What if it sold well?
What if you came out with a book when things weren't going crazy? But, what if you came out with a book in September when you weren't putting out any books? But, I'm sorry.
Did you get that weird thing?
What if Colin didn't have a thing
about where Stanis dressed as Captain America?
What if Colin lost his attitude? And then Zombie Tramp Halloween Special Edition One Shot. Only pointing that out because, look, it's a Halloween book before Halloween. Yay! Because I will be sure to point out all the Halloween books I get in November.
Actually, it's more like,
Are you getting any of those small packs?
Yes, I have most of the packs are in. I just need to get them organized. It's
my
one
wife
of those.
Let me ask you.
Sure. Yes, they are here. It's just another case of my plate spinning. I promise to get more on the ball. I know I always say that, and I never do. But I'm going to do my best to get more on the ball because.
Since you're not on the ball, people will want to tell you about it. How can they do that?
Yeah,
really. If you want it, yes. If you have a question for the podcast, please write to P.O. Box. No. If you'd like a transcript,
I forgot about that sort of thing.
Remember that stuff?
Yeah.
Whoever would write in for a transcript?
I bet people did.
I love that. This Donahue was the best episode ever. But yeah, write in for a transcript. But, yeah, if you want, please come in and ask us the question. Even better, late on Wednesday when the podcasters are sitting here. But you can also email me at colin@pittsburghcomics.com. You can find me on Facebook at Pittsburgh Comics, Twitter at PGH Comics, Instagram at PGH Comics, website www.pittsburghcomics.com, curated by Josh.
There's now a fancy link to your Instagram page and your website.
Ooh, so I should put more pictures up then, huh? Okay. Well, I just bought a $5.
Depends on what?
I just bought a $5 collection, so I'll take all the pictures of the good stuff in there. There wasn't any good stuff in there.
You just insulted somebody.
Yeah. They got paid.
No, he I made him his offer, and he took it quite readily, so he knew what he had. That's it. Now the week I was gone, I do apologize. Now, when you guys were doing the picks of the week, was that more what you had read that was your pick of the week, or was it what's coming next week that you feel is going to be your pick of the week?
I think I found
say
your
picks
sheet.
The week, the week?
I didn't remember. I don't.
I
wasn't here.
No, I
couldn't bring myself to listen to it.
I found your sheet over there.
Yeah.
I read the highlighted ones.
Right.
At the
well, I told
end.
You
we
where it was.
Like, I remember last
no,
week.
I found
you texted
it.
Me.
I found so. It. I didn't need to know because I told you in the text. It
last week on the podcast, I said my pick of the week, but I was talking about my favorite book
from this week. Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
But I mean,
no, I didn't. I didn't know what you guys wanted. That's fine. That's fine. So Adam,
that's podcast.
So we'll talk to you next week. We'll be a little more organized. I promise.
No, lies.
We won't. No, we won't.
Faster than a bullet, leaping buildings in a single bound. Came from out the shadows, cause that's how we get down. I'm in your town. Walk between billionaires and evil scientists. Sorcerers supreme.